77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Good morrow, everyone. It's Friday, TGIF. Thanks for starting your Friday with me. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. It's that time of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for your questions to be answered. It is time for
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
That's right. We only do this once a week. No prepared topics. You control everything that we will discuss for the next hour. The only proviso must be that it is in the form of a question. So bring me your questions. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Whatever you have questions on, I am going to do my best to answer them on any subject from A through Z. Cinema, cocktails, pro wrestling, aliens, inside radio stories, books, music, my personal history. You want to know who my third grade teacher was? I'll tell you. My preferences, politics, food, New York in general, Atlantic City or casino gaming, the economy, public policy, television, the mafia, travel, ping pong, the news, sports, pets, comedy, the mysteries of the universe, family, or just my plain old regular advice on any subject. If you have questions, now is the time. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. We're going to try and get to as many of your questions as we can this hour. Marlena Shivo is going to be here next hour. We got denunciations coming up at 3 o'clock. We got the $1,000 minute coming up at 4:30. It is an action-packed hour and an action-packed show in general, as every Friday show is. All right. Why don't we begin with Joel in Union City, New Jersey. Hello, Joel.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. My question to you is, if you become the president right now, what is the first five things you would do to make our country a normal place?
A normal place?
Yes.
That is such a good question.
I'm still a kid. I didn't even start life out yet, so I want to grow up in a normal society.
Right. Well, hey, hopefully maybe you'll be president one day and you could help bring us back to some semblance of normality. All right. I think what I would start with, because it's very interesting the way that you phrased your question, bringing society back to a normal place. A very big priority for me, Joel, is getting us to a place where we're not wanting to kill people that we disagree with politically. Now, that is the sad reality of the situation is our media and our politicians have created this sort of professional wrestling framework where they paint the guys who are in the opposing political party as bad guys. Meantime, if you look at issue after issue, there is broad agreement on the American public on so many different issues. So what I would do is I would be president as an independent, but I would have a prominent Democrat and a prominent Republican every week highlight different issues on which there's broad agreement, right?
So For example, like the Second Amendment now here in New Jersey, it's not so easy to to protect yourself with the Second Amendment or freedom of speech or any of
Well, so that's a state issue, right? So as president, I can't do much about what New Jersey's doing in terms of gun laws. But what I would do is try and get, say, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders to join me for a rally in Washington to bring back Glass-Steagall, something that they are both on record saying that they're in favor of. That's number one. Number two, I would be much tougher in terms of border enforcement and immigration policy? Because when you talk about normality, a big part of the reason society is not normal is because so many of the drugs that are coming into this country, and many of them, including fentanyl, which is killing all sorts of people, is coming from the southern border. Number three, I would pardon both Julian Assange and Edward Snowden because, one, I want to send the message to my own intelligence apparatus that their priority should be not spying on American citizens, but going after bad guys. And I want to send the message to the media and the government apparatus that being a journalist, which is what Assange is, shouldn't be a crime. That's one, two, and three. Number four, I would try to get to a place where there could be what they call a big compromise on some sort of a fairer tax policy. The one thing that Democrats and Republicans, not the one thing, but one of the things that Democrats and Republicans seem to agree upon is that our tax policy in this country is out of control. It's out of control because it's not bringing enough revenue to pay our bills, but it's also out of control because it's loaded with loopholes. There are a lot of people not even paying taxes. So I'd want to craft some sort of tax policy compromise that eliminates a lot of these tax deductions, eliminates a lot of these loopholes, and maybe has something like return-free filing, which I think would save people a lot of money and time every April when they have to go through and file their taxes. As far as number five goes, I'd want to think about it a little bit, but I think it would probably have to do with bringing American troops home from places like Syria and places where I think we're adding more to the global antagonism towards America. But I'd like to think about it a little bit more. Hopefully I'd have more than 3 minutes to think about it if I were ever elected, Joel. Thank you. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Pete in Piscataway. It's that-a-way. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Frank. What are your top three favorite TV themes of all time?
Oh, it's a good question. Okay. I have to think one is Green Acres. I love the theme to Green Acres. It's got to be WKRP in Cincinnati. And then number three, you know, it might be Rawhide, actually. I love that theme song to Rawhide. I like it a lot. I mean, those, if I had to gun to my head, those are probably no. Let me do away with one. Gilligan's Island has got to be up there. So I'm going to have Gilligan's Island in place of Rawhide. I'm going to have Gilligan's Island, Green Acres, and then I like Beverly Hillbillies a lot too. So I'm going to say Gilligan's Island, Green Acres, and you know, no, Cheers. Okay, those are my three. Final answer. Cheers,
no.
Gilligan's Island, and Green Acres. Those are my three.
I'm surprised you didn't say Hawaii Five-O or Rockford Files.
I like both. I like both. But to me, there's something so calming about that Cheers theme song. There's something so catchy about that Green Acres theme song. And Gilligan's Island, I mean, is there any better telling of a story in the Gilligan's Island theme song? It's a great question, though, Pete. I like Beverly Hillbillies as well. There's a lot, but those are my three. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Jeremiah in the Bronx. Hello, Jeremiah.
How you doing? Hey, listen, you know what's a good song, theme song? You ever remember The High Chaparral? The High Chaparral? The theme to The High Chaparral?
I don't think I ever saw that show.
That was an excellent Western series. Anyway, I just want to say long live to the First Nations. And have you ever heard of that expression, the First Nations?
The First Nations. No, fill me in on that one, Jeremiah.
The First Nations are the so-called Native Americans. They were the First Nations in this country.
All right, yeah. That's news to me.
Oh, yeah. And another thing, the rap. You ever heard the theme song for the Rat Patrol?
I don't think so, Jeremiah. You and I must be watching different channels.
You never seen that World War II in Africa, the Rat Patrol? Oh, my God, that was awesome in the 60s.
And give me the first one. I'll put that on my list as well.
I think it was called High Chaparral. High Chaparral is awesome.
High Chaparral. I'll check it out. Thank you, Jeremiah. 1-800-848-WABC. Jimmy is in Brooklyn. Hello, Jimmy.
Frankie, how are you tonight, Frankie?
I'm hanging in there. Thanks.
Good. Frank, I just want to ask you a quick question, and there's a reason why. You, in your heart of hearts, feel that Curtis has a legitimate shot at winning next week, or 10 days, whatever it is, mayoral election?
You know, I'm going to answer the question honestly. One, yes. I do. Although, let me acknowledge that I'm a little too close to the fire, right? So you never really want to ask people that are close to a campaign or involved in a campaign, because it's difficult for them to be objective, because they see how hard the candidate is working, how hard the candidate staff is working. But as I said the other day, I see so many parallels, Jimmy, between the 2016 presidential race and this race. And Governor Patterson disagreed with me yesterday. And look, he's been around politics much longer than I have. But
That's a great analogy. I
really do think that because everyone assumes that Curtis is going to lose, there is going to be a suppressed Democratic turnout. And as long as Curtis's people come out, I think he actually does have a fighting chance at pulling this out. I really do.
So do I, Frank. And so do I. And the reason why I think so is because common sense has to prevail at some time. And I think now is the time where common sense is going to prevail, and the people of this city have had enough.
Now,
that's my point of view. I really do, because if Curtis does win, you will see the anti-crime unit back within a couple of days, and the jump outs and the stop and frisks. But I'm talking about doing it for legitimate reasons, for the real reasons, not for the way it was done years ago where it was done wrong. It will be done the right way this time, and you watch how the crime just spirals down.
Jimmy, I think you're right. I think we're on the same page on that one. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Andy on Staten Island. Hello, Andy.
Frank, again, you got me. Green Acres. I love that.
Is it great? It's a great song, isn't it?
It's highly produced, but you know, you got Eddie Arnold. He was popular back then.
That's true. That's true. It was one cute pig.
But it is a great song.
It is.
On Channel 33 lately.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. Great song.
Hey, Frank. Could we play ping pong one day?
100%, Andy. This weekend I am tied up because I have to go out to Long Island, but I'd love to play ping pong with you. Do you play?
Yes, I've been playing on and off for years.
Great. We'll play.
We had a table up in the studio on 37th Street. I had like a 10-year record deal there. And boy, did we play.
Well, I'm game, Andy. I've got your email, so we'll pick maybe a free Friday or Saturday, and we could play. This weekend doesn't work, but we could look at next weekend. I'm in. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Leo in Manhattan. Hello, Leo.
Hi, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
If you would be able to remove three world leaders without any, you know, conscious feel of guilt, they would just disappear. They would not stay in the eye of public. Which three would these be?
You know, that is a great question, because there are a lot of world leaders that I would get rid of. I'm going to give you my answer, but let me give you the reason I'm giving my answer. Now, there are terrible world leaders out there in the world, like the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, a horrible person, Prime Minister, you know, the Premier of China, Xi Jinping, terrible dictator, really an autocrat. But I'm telling you why I wouldn't pick them or people like that as people that I'd get rid of. If I could wave a magic wand and get rid of people, I would want to get rid of world leaders where there's a chance that somebody less autocratic would fill that role. Now, in China, if Xi Jinping disappeared tomorrow, the Communist Chinese Party would just continue and they'd have another Xi Jinping-like person running things. The same thing in Saudi Arabia. If Mohammed bin Salman disappeared, forget about it. They'd have another Saudi crown prince that would be probably with slight changes just as autocratic and just as terrible. So I would want to pick three world leaders that I could get rid of and really see a positive change for that country. And there are four that come to mind, but let me pick three. The three that immediately come to mind are Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. If you look at what Chavez and Maduro have done to Venezuela, it is an international tragedy and a real crime. Now, Venezuela used to be the wealthiest country in South America. Venezuela had so much natural beauty and so much wealth because of natural resources. And unfortunately, what we see now, it's worse, much worse than simply a socialist government. What we see is a government of, by, and for thugs. It's like you want to know what a mafia state would look like. It would look exactly like Venezuela. So I would want to get rid of Maduro because there's a chance that we could see a government that would actually serve the Venezuelan people well. Then I would try and get rid of Miguel Diaz-Canel in Cuba, who for the same reason that Cuba has so much natural resources. They're so close to the United States. They could have a great relationship not only with us, but the whole Western world. And I would hope that whoever would replace Canal would be, or Diaz-Canel, would be somebody that was not a communist dictator. And then number three would probably be, it would probably be Andres Manuel López Obrador in Mexico. The guy is a disaster, and I would hope that somebody would replace him who would be a much better partner to the United States on issues related to drugs and the border.
Can I have a follow-up question?
Yeah, sure.
In my mind, I was thinking about Russia because there's not a second guy standing next to him who would immediately replace him. But Biden didn't came completely on your mind, absolutely not?
No, because Biden's going to be gone in 3 years anyway. And I have I think that with the Republicans likely to win Congress next year, his legislative agenda is largely going to be neutered. So I think a lot of the damage that Biden can do, both to the people in this country and around the world, is going to be mitigated. Whereas if Maduro were to disappear tomorrow, that would be a global game changer.
You're right.
But thank you for the call, Leo. Very thoughtful question. 800-848-WABC. We're going to continue with your questions in just a minute. We're doing a good old-fashioned Ask Frank Anything. Meantime, it's another big weekend here at 77 WABC. Week four of our special programming as WABC celebrates 100 years. This is great. I don't know if you've been listening to these terrific documentaries that our production director, Chris Libertini, has been putting together, but you can join WABC for a one-hour special at 3 p.m. this and every Sunday in October honoring WABC icons. This Sunday, they're highlighting the day the music died. It's all part of 77 WABC celebrating 100 years. They actually asked me to be on this weekend, which was nice, but they asked me after it was 1 p.m. They had asked me. I didn't even know my own name at 1 p.m. this afternoon. I'd been here around the clock. So I said, I don't know that I can say anything coherent, but I might be on next week. So I'm looking forward to that. So last week's special highlighted Music Radio 77 WABC from the 60s and 70s. This weekend, you can listen back to the day when WABC switched from music to talk radio. It's presented documentary style. It features our own Cousin Brucey, plus the last music director at Music Radio WABC, James Golden, on air weekdays from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. and on 8 a.m. Saturdays, and a whole lot of other WABC personalities. Big fan. thank you to John and Margot Katsimatidis for making this all possible. I got to see John and Margot yesterday, and I thank them in person for the great ideas that they've had for the weekend specifically, and I specifically mentioned this program. So if you want to hear that, it's going to be this Sunday, 3 p.m. Download the 77 WABC app and celebrate 100 years with 77 WABC.
77 WABC, All-American.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano with you until 5 a.m. Actually, I'm with you until 6 a.m. today solo because Juliet is out. So I'm not looking forward to doing that hour solo, but hopefully Molly and Matt can come up with some interesting news that I can bring to your attention. We'll see, because it's going to be interesting. All right. We're on it. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad somebody is. We are in the midst of doing a...
The Other Side of Midnight proudly presents Ask Frank.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
Ask Frank Anything.
We are answering your questions on any subject. I'm doing the best that I can anyway. Let me say hello to Peter in Manhattan. Hello, Peter.
Yes, Frank. I have a very deep request to make of you and all the rest of the radio staff at your station. Alan Colmes was a legend. Mm. And talk radio back in his day and prior had more celebrities and world leaders than I'm sure John would love to have, but I don't think they would come on today. Why do you think that is? I have a follow-up question.
Well, first of all, in John's case, I think he does get a lot of those celebrities.
No, I'm talking about real celebrities, not guys.
No, like Jesse Jackson. You don't think Jesse Jackson is a celebrity?
No, he's passé now.
Right? All right. Well, give me an idea of the kind of celebrity you're talking about.
But Combs used to have heads of state on. I mean, from different countries. Anyway, my second question. 25 years old is not a child's car. Well, how could that be an excuse for committing crimes? This kid's going to prison for 14. Your people and my people have done...
Which kid?
Well, for example, during the debates yesterday, what's his name? Sleeva said, well, I was only 25 years old. 25 years old?
Well, I agree with that.
You don't know right from wrong.
No, look, I agree with that, Peter. I think that's fair.
Hang up before I say something stupid. Go
ahead. All right, Peter. What I was going to say is, you know, both Curtis and Eric Adams, 30 years ago, have done a lot of things they're not proud of. The difference is Curtis came out 20 years ago, excuse me, no, he came out 30 years ago and confessed to things that he did 40 and 50 years ago, namely those six hoaxes that he admitted. And I think, you know, Curtis didn't come out and admit it and apologize when he was looking to run for office. He came out and admitted it 30 years ago. Eric Adams has also made a lot of mistakes in his youth. The difference is, most recently this week, him trying to I don't know the other word to use, torture that woman who accused a friend of his and somebody from his group, the Guardians, of cheating on the sergeant's test, and went after her, followed her all the way to Utica, attacked her in very sexist and very racist language. Eric Adams did not apologize to her and didn't apologize to the public for his role in that and other similar incidents until there was an article about it this week. So I don't think Eric Adams would have apologized at all if he didn't get caught by the city. Curtis, he's apologized for that stuff 30 years ago. But let me say this. whether it's Curtis, whether it's Eric Adams, whether it's Al Sharpton, whether it's me. If you don't like someone and you decide the reason you don't like them is because of things that they did 25, 30, 35 years ago, then to me, there's nothing that can be done for you, right? You're done. I'm a guy that believes people can evolve. I'm a guy that believes people can change. I'm a guy that believes people can learn from their mistakes. I'm a very different person than I was 10 or 15 years ago. I don't want to be judged by the kind of person I was 15 years ago. And I think anybody that's controversial, including the three people that I just mentioned and a number of other people, you want to include John Gotti Jr. in that category, whomever else, those mistakes are part of what makes us who we are. So I agree with you, Peter. I don't think saying I was 25 years old and I shouldn't be accountable to my behavior, I don't think that's an excuse. But I don't know how far back you need to go in someone's life before you sort of let bygones be bygones and let sleeping dogs lie. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Douglas in Brooklyn. Hello, Douglas.
Hey, Frank. How you doing?
Good. Well, thanks.
Maybe I should start by asking you a question. Which community in Brooklyn or in New York City does the best job of turning out the vote?
Well, it's a reflection of which districts have competitive races.
I'm talking the mayor's race.
It'll be Staten Island because we're the only borough that has a competitive borough president's race and a competitive city council race.
Well, I personally think that in Brooklyn, some of these black or African-American churches do a very good job of turning out the vote. That they say something inside that church, voila, lines and lines of people are standing up ready to vote.
All right. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, Doug.
Right. I support Curtis. But I'm a little bit afraid he's going to lose.
All right. Well, he might lose. If he doesn't get the most votes, he's sure enough going to lose. 800-848-WABC. Mike is in Manhattan. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Frank. I tell you what, I know you're a fan of pro wrestling. I was curious, did you ever pay any attention to roller derby?
I'll be honest, I never really got into it. I know a lot of people love it, and I'm told it's a lot of fun. I never really took to it. Never got into it.
I know. It made kind of a comeback in the 80s. They used to call it the roller games. But I heard that it's kind of like pro wrestling in that it's kind of scripted.
I've heard that, too. I would certainly check it out, Mike, but I haven't had the opportunity. Not that I haven't had the opportunity. I haven't done it yet, but I would check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah. Can I ask you just one question about a TV show that I don't think you mentioned? Taxi.
Yeah, another great theme song, no question about it. See, back then there were a lot of great theme songs with a lot of great television shows with great theme songs, no question about it.
And it was a great cast on that show too.
Oh, no doubt about it. Andy Kaufman, Tony Danza, Judd Hirsch, you from top to bottom, Christopher Lloyd, Danny DeVito, it's aces, no question about it. Thank you, Mike. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subjects. That's 1-800-848-9222. Eli is in New Jersey. Hello, Eli.
Hi, Frank. How you doing? First, before my question, you said before that Biden's going to be serving for 3 years. That means you don't believe he's going to run for re-election, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. He's already the oldest president of all time, and he looks pretty weather-beaten. I mean, he doesn't look like he's really – I wouldn't characterize him as a very virile leader. So I would – if I were betting, especially given the polls that came out yesterday and given what we've seen policy-wise or lack thereof from him, I would guess that he's not going to run for re-election, primarily because I don't think the Democrats are going to want to run him. I think they're going to try and run what they perceive to be a stronger candidate.
I agree, and I think he already decided that he's not going to be running. I think when Jen Psaki said he plans now on running, I think that she's just saying it, and they already decided he's not running. But anyway, my question: I just gave my friend a haircut. I gave him a nice bald spot right on the top of his head, and I wanted some advice. What do you think I could do to make this up for him? Like, you know, sort of a.
Well, are you a barber?
I'm not. I've given a few haircuts, but I'm in the dormitory in school. He just asked me to.
Eli, you should. I'm a big believer that people that are not qualified to give haircuts should not be doing it. I would buy him dinner or something. That's what I would do. And pay for a new haircut.
Really, what happened was the piece fell off the middle. It was a sort of a faulty machine.
Yeah, I understand. But ultimately, I think that's still your responsibility if the buzzer is in your hands. I would pay for a new haircut and buy him dinner. That's what I'd do, and I think that should square everything.
Buying him a nice hat or something to cover it.
Oh, there you go. That's a creative idea as well, Eli. Makes sense. Thank you. 800-848-9222. Got an email question here. Hi, Frank. I've long been wondering about this. Who does the research and writes the copy for the news, both the 77 seconds of news as well as that with Juliette Huddy? Well, the 77 seconds of news, I'll defer to Matt Sapienza since he does the 77 seconds of news. Matt, where do you get your news copy from?
It's all me. I usually just get it from AP, and I condense it into like maybe one or two sentences just so it can fit the time frame. And then I get my sports from CBS, or I'm usually listening to the games on the way in. And then the weather I get from the Weather Channel.
There you have it. In my case, it's actually pretty similar. I look at AP. I also try and go through the papers. But keep in mind, I only have to do about maybe 40% of the work in putting together the news. Sometimes, some days less. Juliette does, the balance. So that's why today is going to be a real adventure in putting together that 5 a.m. news hour. I got another question here. Why is the streaming audio behind by 2 to 4 minutes depending on the day? Matt, you're a little bit more technical than me. You have an answer for this? Why is the streaming audio behind 2 to 4 minutes, depending on the day? Any idea?
I'm not sure, depending on the day, but usually it's behind because of the pre-delay. So the stream usually takes its time to catch up with us as we're doing the show live.
I see. Okay. All right. That's above my pay grade. If our engineer – not our engineer. Oh, yeah. If either our chief engineer, Dan Herschel, is listening or our production director – Chris Libertini is listening. Please email me and I'll report back to this person. Another question here. Some of the candidates for elected office have multiple endorsements from opposing parties like conservative and Democrat or Republican and working families. Do you view those candidates like prostitutes willing to do or say anything for endorsement? The answer is it depends, right? It depends on the situation. If we're talking a judicial candidate where judges don't get to talk about issues anyway, and they're endorsed by the Democrats and Republicans, I don't view them in that way. I think that a lot of these people are judges just interested in being judges, and the political parties have made a calculation that it makes more sense for them to cross endorse the candidate of the other party to, one, be in good with somebody that is going to be a judge, and two, not have somebody that's going to be a drag on their own ticket for candidates that are running beneath them. For other offices, the answer is maybe. Not so much Democrat and conservative, because we've seen a lot of good candidates over the years running on the Democratic and conservative line, a lot of good conservative Democrats. But there's a lot of deal making that goes on behind the scenes, especially in places like Suffolk County, where I have seen somebody that's the candidate of both the Conservative Party and the Working Families Party and the Independence Party and the Democratic Party, and those candidates tend to get their nominations as a result of some political horse trading. But no, I don't see it that way. And if you look at a guy that I think is one of the greatest mayors this city has ever seen, Rudy Giuliani, he was the mayor. He ran for mayor three times on the Republican line and the Liberal Party line. I don't think that made him any worse of a mayor. In some ways, I think it made him a more skilled politician. And I think he got the Liberal Party line, one, because he was pretty liberal on a lot of key social issues, and two, because he had a strong personal relationship with the leader of the Liberal Party, and three, because the leader of the Liberal Party recognized that he'd be a better mayor than David Dinkins. So the answer to your question is, I think it depends. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Joe is in Jamaica. Joe, what's your question?
Yeah, good morning, Frank. I want to segue to the original day the music died. If you think back to February 3rd, very quickly, 1959, we lost musical talents of Buddy Holly, Ritchie Valens, and J.P. Richardson, otherwise known as the Big Bopper. Now, we've already seen the Buddy Holly story. We saw La Bamba, both movies about the first Sioux. My question is there a movie in the works about the Big Bopper, or did I miss the movie?
You know, it's a good question, Joe. I don't know. I had heard his son was working on one a couple of years ago, but I don't know that that film ever came out. So I don't know. That's the most honest answer I can give. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. I am answering your questions on any subject. Try to mix it up, right? We'll try to have questions about things other than politics. That can be boring. You have questions about movies, cocktails, pro wrestling, aliens, radio, books, anything. 800-848-9222. Ken is in Bayside. Ken, what's your question?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what do you think about the five amendments that are to the New York State Constitution? They're going to be on the ballot. I think most voters are going to be blindsided when they get the ballot.
Well, you're right. And I spent about a half hour on this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to repeat the whole half hour.
I missed that.
But let me say, Ken, you're exactly right. People are going to be blindsided, one, because the media is not really covering them, with the exception of me and the Gothamist and a couple of other outlets. Two, they have written these amendments out on a 14th grade reading level. Now, a lot of New Yorkers have never even been to 14th grade, so they're not going to even know what these amendments mean. I wish they would write these amendments out in plain language, which is tough. Now, as far as the amendments go, I respect people that have different views, and I understand why they may have opposing views to where I'm voting, but I'm voting no on question one and question two enthusiastically, and then I am reluctantly voting no. Excuse me, I'm reluctantly voting yes on question three and question four. And then question five is pretty harmless. I don't think it's going to change much of anything, but I'm voting yes on question five as well. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Paul is in Manhattan. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Frank. As a big science fiction fan, are you looking forward to seeing the new Dune movie?
You know, I was just telling my wife this because they had the advertisements up when we were in Atlantic City in the IMAX theater at the Trop, and I love IMAX cinema. I am not that excited about it. I will probably end up seeing it. I wasn't that big of a fan of the original Dune. So it's not exactly that this is a story that really especially resonates with me. I probably will end up seeing it, but there are other movies that are coming out that I am far more excited about.
Like what?
Paul. I mean, the next Star Trek film, for instance, things like that. What else did I see advertised recently that
Matrix?
Oh, yes, that's one. Yeah, the new Matrix film. That is one that I'm very excited about, actually. Yeah.
I have another quick question.
Sure.
Do you have a favorite web browser?
I end up using Google Chrome.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. 800-848-WABC. I find that it works pretty well. Raul is in New Jersey. Hello, Raul.
No, this is Raul. Hello, Frankie. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Ralph,
got it.
Okay. Who is the creative genius behind the WABC jingle? Because I sense an orchestra music and every forms of instrumentation before the vocal. Who is the creative genius behind that?
Well, you're talking about the jingle that says, like, jingles that go, Frank Moreno.
No. 77 WABC.
Oh, I know what he's referring to.
Yeah,
he's referring to things like these.
77 WABC.
That is, Ralph, actually a throwback jingle from when we were still a music station, and the person who has done the maintenance on finding them is Chris Libertini.
Yeah, and I know that Jam Creative Productions awesome. Made Thank all of those jingles people. Because I know they've been making jingles for this station for years.
Yeah, I know Pam. Pam made some jingles for us too. I know. I'm not sure if those were Pam jingles or Jam jingles.
Yeah, these are Pam's jingles.
Those. Oh, but that's the opposite of what you just said.
No. Like Jam still makes jingles for the station, but Pam's, I believe, merged into what is gotcha. Now Jam gotcha. Creative gotcha. Productions.
All right, there you go. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Josh in Rockland County, who's been holding a while. Hello, Josh.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thanks.
My question is, why couldn't Curtis Lever run as a Democrat? Like that, at least he has a bigger chance of winning. And then once he gets in, he just governs as a Republican. And people are just so busy, Democrat versus Republican. So a lot of Democrats would vote even without knowing what he's standing for.
Well, look, different political leaders have used this strategy from time to time. Sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't. I don't think Curtis, if he does get elected, is going to be governing as a Republican or a Democrat. I think, as he always says, he's a populist and is going to be governing pretty independently. But I think the reason that he didn't choose to run as a Democrat was because I think that given his history supporting Republican political figures like Rudy Giuliani, George Pataki, and others, I think it would have been very difficult for him to win in a Democratic primary. So I don't think there's any way he would have finished even in the top five in a Democratic primary, given his history of being supportive of right-leaning candidates, personally. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll continue with your questions next. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano, answering your questions on any subject, 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Howard in Elmhurst. Hello, Howard.
Yes, Frank, I was interested if you ever try to interview the astrophysicist Avi Loeb.
Yes, he's been a guest on this show. I think I had him on twice, actually.
Yeah, because he's terrific. I never heard him, but
he's great. He's great. If you email me, Howard, I'll send you a link to the podcast of our most recent interview.
Thank you very much. And
my email's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. But Avi Loeb is terrific. Avi Loeb, by the way, is a Harvard professor who's got this great new book about extraterrestrials and the fact that this, what we thought was a comet, this thing called Oumuamua, might have actually been a piece of alien technology. A bright guy, and a guy that has seen his colleagues at Harvard ridicule him because he's being willing to ask some uncomfortable questions and see where those conclusions lead. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Tony is in Manhattan. Hello, Tony.
Frank, how are you? It's so great to hear your show. I used to produce a show in Washington, D.C. called the Braden and Buchanan Show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love both of those guys. Absolutely.
Yeah, before they went to Crossfire on CNN, they used to do the radio show on WRCAM. And we used to have great guests. I booked Jerry Lewis, Richard Nixon. And I think to your first caller's question about what happened to all the celebrity guests is now there's just some – and we used to compete with you guys up at WABC. We used to poach all our people. But there used to be so few stations. That's why we got such good guests now. Now the guests got to spread all over the place. But I have a question for you, sir.
I'm ready.
It's about congestion pricing. And, I don't know why congestion pricing, everyone wants to put it on. But if you look at the lanes in Manhattan, there's four lanes, let's say on every avenue or street, and two are for parking, and then two are for driving, and everyone double parks in one, so you cut the traffic down by 50%. So why don't we just give everyone who double parks a $1,000 ticket immediately, and we don't need any more congestion pricing. We'll get the streets clear immediately. What do you think of that idea, Frank?
Well, look, I share your concern about double parking causing congestion. I'm not sure a $1,000 ticket for somebody that makes a mistake, if they're running into a store or, you know, I'm not sure that is a punishment that fits the crime. I get what you're trying to do, which is to have a punishment be so harsh that it's a disincentive and you don't need congestion pricing. But My concern with things like excessive parking tickets is, let's say John Catsimatidis and I are both driving and we both double park and we both get the $1,000 ticket in your scenario. John will not blink and with paying that. Now, that $1,000 will screw me up for 3 months budgetarily. So it's a regressive tax. All these tickets that are based on a flat fee rather than income are regressive taxes. They hurt people who can least afford to pay them. The less money you make, the higher percentage of your income you're paying. And I'll be honest with you, and look, I'm open to some ideas when it comes to congestion pricing, but so many of the people pushing congestion pricing are not doing it because they are concerned about traffic congestion in Manhattan. They're doing it because they want a dedicated stream of revenue, because the MTA is hemorrhaging money. So your solution does nothing to help the people that are so desperate for that extra money that they're counting on from congestion pricing. Thanks for the call. 800-848-WABC, answering your question on any subject. Let me say hello to Michael in Ohio. Hello, Michael.
Yes, Frank, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard, Michael. Welcome aboard.
Hey, I've been listening to you about 6 months, but I got a question. If Curtis wins mayor, and if he asks you to be his chief of staff, would you do it? Would you take the job?
Well, first of all, no. Second of all, I don't think Curtis would ask me to be his chief of staff. I think he would have somebody much more experienced with running the bureaucracy of city government than me. And three, honestly, Michael, and this is not me being cute, I'm actually doing right now what I've always dreamed of doing, which is being on the radio every day. So I wouldn't want to jeopardize that or change that at all. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Answering your question on any subject. Let me say hello to Nate in Union. Hello, Nate.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
First of all, I'd just like to give a shout-out to all the cops in Union, New Jersey.
Amen. I'll join you on that one.
Okay. My question is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh, that is a good one. If I had to pick a superpower and not something a little bit less fantastic, I would pick wisdom, but that's not really a superpower. If I'm picking something like X-ray vision or lasers coming out of my eyes, I would probably pick telepathy, because I could just see so many advantages in which it would help to know what the person who you're in front of is actually thinking about.
Yeah, I guess it's pretty cool. I mean, I was thinking I would like telekinesis.
Well, that's good, too. That's good, too. But, you know, so can you really do that many things with telekinesis? I mean, I guess it would help me as a craps player and keep from sevening out when I'm playing craps. But I don't know. That strikes me as a little self-serving. I feel like I could do a lot of good with telepathy, but also do well with telepathy. A little bit of both. Thank you, Nate. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. Let me say hello to Jeannie in Queens. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Frank? So glad to speak with you.
Thank you.
I would like to ask something about Curtis. I totally support him, and I really want him to win. Recently, he stood vigil for this couple who had reported these dogs being tortured.
Yes, I spoke with the woman that night that she was assaulted.
And then they came back after the arrest, of course, and they tried to beat them out.
Right. She was on with me right after that.
So Curtis was fantastic, and he stood vigil by their home to make sure they wouldn't get beaten again. And I wanted to know if that was ever in the regular media, because that's a marvelous story and image for him to present as part of what he is committed to helping people be safe. I don't know anybody else who went there to help those people.
That's exactly right. And there are many other crime scenes. And until yesterday, you never saw Eric Adams at any of these crime scenes with Curtis. And interestingly enough, yesterday when he was with Curtis, they tried to get Curtis and the Guardian Angels, who've been standing there, to get out of the frame and to move away. And Curtis, his attitude was, no, we're not moving away. We've been here. We're not moving away. We're not moving out of the frame. Eric Adams did the same thing there that he did at the debate, which is he refused to shake Curtis's hand. As the question about the standing vigil with that woman who was attacked for reporting the illegal dogs, that was reported in the other papers. I did not see much coverage of it on television at the time. Yeah. But you're right. It could have definitely...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I wanted to mention it because it would help his image for being voted for. And also, what can we do to get the media to be more truthful in general?
I can't answer, Jeannie. Unfortunately, with a corporate-driven media, they're so driven by clicks, by circulation, by ads, that they're going to put whatever stories up they think are going to generate the most attention and the most clicks. That's the best that I can answer. 800-848-WABC, answering your questions on any subject. Two open lines if you want to jump on board. That's 1-800-848-WABC. ABC. Let me say hello to Sam in Brooklyn. Hello, Sam.
How you doing there, Frank? Great show. I miss you in the mornings with the other crew.
Thanks.
But I'd like to know why you would speculate why there's no polling on the mayoral race.
Sam,
Quinnipiac or all these other ones.
Sam, I went over this a little bit with Governor Patterson and Dominic Carter yesterday. That is absolutely outrageous. I have no idea. I would speculate that early on, I think it was everyone assumed it was going to be such a runaway that they couldn't get somebody to spend the $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 necessary to do a responsible poll. But I'll be honest now, and I hate to be this conspiratorial. Now, I think it's because they may not like the results that poll shows. And initially, I was very ticked off about it. And to some extent that I still am, because I think it hurts Curtis with donors. But I think the fact that they think that this race is going to be such a runaway, it may actually end up inuring to Curtis's benefit, because if people knew it was competitive, I think they would be voting for, you know, at least Democrats in the city would be voting for Adams in droves. Let's try and get in at least one or two more. 1-800-848-WABC. If you have questions, it's 1-800-848-9222. Cap is in Nevada. Hello, Cap.
Hey, you do a great show.
Thank you.
Always prepared every night. It's amazing.
Well, that's kind of you. Thank you, Cap.
I'm an old man. I remember when Curtis was a very young man. And he's dedicated so much time to the city. And he rode those subways for so long and wasn't welcome there by the police in the beginning.
Real quick, Cap, because we only have about a minute. What's your question?
Foreign press. How much do you go through foreign press?
A significant amount, actually. I read BBC. I read a lot of the British tabloids. I read RT. I read the Russian press. I read a lot of the foreign press. And I actually find a lot of stories there that I wouldn't find otherwise if I only read the New York newspapers. All right. Those of you that are holding, maybe call back next week. Otherwise, we'll get to you in the 3 o'clock hour. You can call back in the 3 o'clock hour. Marlena Shivo is here. You are in for a treat. She's got a lot of thoughts on a lot of things. So I am very much looking forward to having her in studio. We're going to get into a wide variety of subjects. Marlena Shivo joining me for the full hour. We'll tackle anything from the new movie Halloween to the New Jersey gubernatorial race. Until next hour.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everyone, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano, and I am just thrilled whenever I am joined by our next guest. She is not only somebody with opinions about seemingly every subject, she is not only very intelligent, and as you'll see when we post the video of this segment a little bit later, very beautiful. She also happens to be very funny. Noted satirist, mother, and veteran media producer, and a personal certified friend of the Frankster, the one and only Marlena Shivo. Marlena, good to see you.
Oh, good to see you, Frank. I feel like I look like I have no hair right now.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
Right?
You have kind of an old school headset that we got you.
Right.
And you could bring your own headset and wear
I never do. I just want to make you do all the work, Frank. That's how I operate.
Typical woman. to a typical birthing person, I should say. Excuse me.
Typical
now,
human.
Tell me about your wardrobe here before we get into the...
What would you like to know about my wardrobe,
Frank? Well, you're
wearing
a necktie. It seems awfully formal for 2 o'clock in the morning. Tell me about this choice.
You have every bit of a suit on except for a tie.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, on the bottom half of me, which no one will see, I have sneakers and leggings. So you're a little more casual on the chest.
Gotcha.
I'm a little bit more casual on the bottom. Together we make one person who is formally dressed.
And one person who's casually dressed. All right. Now, I was particularly eager to talk to you this morning when the news broke a couple of hours ago about Alec Baldwin. Now, you have confessed that you are a big fan of Alec Baldwin, not only an admirer of his work as an actor, and both as a dramatic and a comedic actor,
right,
but you've actually said that he has been one of your celebrity crushes from time to time.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I've often said...
Are you backtracking?
Struggle. Well, no, I don't really... I've gotten a lot of...
Until we take calls, you don't even have to put on the headphones.
I know.
Okay.
I am going to take them off.
Take them off.
They're so obnoxious at this point.
Fair enough. Although it does seem like you put in a lot of effort to get them on, to finally throw in the towel to take them off. Seems like...
Yeah, I'll just hold it like this.
There you go.
Like an old announcer. No.
I like that, actually.
Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, look.
Before we get into the latest with what he's done, give folks some context as to your fandom. Go ahead.
I was about to.
Sorry, go ahead.
Although I'm staring at Joe Biden right now, and I'm just like, I can't even. So this is the thing. Alec Baldwin is classically handsome, and I really am not like a huge lover of celebrities and men in general, but he has always captured my attention because he's very funny. And when he got older, he was just very good looking. He has these dimples. He has these glassy blue eyes. And he has a voice where he sounds like he's always talking in a loud whisper.
It's true. It sounds like he's perpetually holding someone for ransom.
Yeah.
Right? He's perpetually.
Right. Yeah. He's like, well, who's that guy? Liam Neeson. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
He's captured my attention. Plus, he's a reverend, and I like that.
I like a reverend, too. It seems like, and I've always felt this, that he has some issues with anger management, among other things. It seems like there's always a story of him yelling at somebody, hitting someone.
He lost a job because of his anger management.
That's what I'm saying.
The shortest lived show on MSNBC.
And isn't his wife a yoga instructor?
She is.
I mean, I would think that would help him channel
some of
this stuff.
She's also a fake foreigner. So,
right.
We don't really know exactly where she stands, right?
So I am guessing your fondness for Alec Baldwin does not extend to Hilaria
Hilaria.
Hilaria, excuse me. Hilarious.
Yeah, there's nothing Hilaria about her. But I don't have any real feelings about her except for that story that came out about her fake accent and her actually being from Boston and not Spain or wherever she said she was from. I have a problem with their age difference. I think it is absolutely vile.
What is the difference in age?
I don't even think she's 40 yet, and he's like 63.
Okay.
She's like approaching 40.
Now, what I'm told, my friend Tommy Barlotta, the Barlotta scale is what's appropriate in age difference, and we covered this the other day, is half of your age plus 9. Do you go along with that?
Half of your age plus 9.
So if you're 60.
I've never heard that.
So if you're 60, you could date a 39-year-old.
That just sounds like man logic.
All right. Well,
mansplaining and everything else man-related.
Fair enough. Okay.
We're back to the patriarchy, like the last time I was here.
Fair enough. Okay. So the Tommy Barlotta scale has been canceled.
Tommy Barlotta. I've seen you on social media here and there.
He's a fan of yours. Maybe he won't be after this. All right. So we got the big age difference. Now, your friend, your person you're a fan of, Alec Baldwin,
yes,
has killed someone.
Yes. Not purposely, apparently, but he was on set of Rust. Where were they, in New Mexico or something?
Yes.
Okay. And the firearm, the prop that he was holding accidentally, went off and shot a crew member and then also a director or something. Anyway, the crew member died. 42-year-old woman has died.
It's terrible.
And no one knows the condition of the other individual. It is terrible. Alec Baldwin has not come out and said anything yet. This is all kind of late breaking anyway. I saw this trending later when I was coming in here.
Yeah,
a couple hours ago. First of all, forget Alec Baldwin for a second. I didn't know that blanks could kill people.
Well, isn't
it's
that
very
how
confusing?
Brandon Lee died.
That is how Brandon Lee died.
In The Crow?
Yes. But I'm still, I'm not a big Brandon Lee fan, and so that was long forgotten.
Got it.
And I would think that from that point, because that was a while ago, to this point, wouldn't they have sort of
figured out
how to make a gun
not kill people?
Exactly. Yeah. Can't you just have it make the sound and?
Yeah.
I mean, there are cap guns that make, that
exactly
sound. Why
right
does
and you can always, I would think, throw the sound in post of what a gunshot would sound
you
like.
You can do everything. You can make,
right. There's no need to kill directors of photography for the sake of a realistic-looking gunshot.
But this doesn't look good for Alec Baldwin.
No.
Something very bad is going to come up.
Especially if he had an argument with this director of photography the day before.
Oh, I'm so sure. But no, I'm sure it has nothing.
By the way,
to do
I have
that.
No, I have no evidence that that's the case. Just
I know, but even if that, I actually feel bad for the guy because this really doesn't.
He killed someone, and you feel bad for him?
He didn't do it on purpose.
That I tell you.
I feel bad for them that he killed someone and he injured someone, but I also feel bad for him because could you imagine what he is feeling right now? He's probably petrified. I wouldn't even be able to sleep. This is it. It's a done deal for Alec Baldwin. He cannot go back on his game show and be jovial and funny after killing somebody, right?
Although that's a game show with some very, very serious consequences. You win, you get money. You lose, you have Alec Baldwin in a prop gun, and good luck. So you feel bad for Alec Baldwin.
I do feel bad for Alec Baldwin.
I'd be curious if people, what their reaction is to the Alec Baldwin killing. 800-848-9222. Do you think there's something, something amiss here? Do you think there's some foul play involved here? 800-848-9222.
Oh, you know what? Tomorrow I can just hear all of the gun activists and everybody else coming out, the anti-gun activists coming out and speaking out against this, which they have no place in this actual argument.
Well, Alec Baldwin himself has always been, an anti-gun activist, right?
And so is Jamie Lee Curtis. And I'm going to transition a little bit because she, a couple years ago, 2018, when her first, Halloween movie Resurrection came out, she was questioned by the liberal mob about her stance on the Second Amendment and all these other things, because she wields a gun in these movies because...
Yeah, there's a serial killer chasing her.
Exactly. And by the way, it's not her. It's her character, and it's right. A movie, and it's a script. Right. And it was the most ludicrous thing that I had seen up until that point.
Right.
Now,
little
forget
did you know
it.
What little, you were in store
let's
for.
Let's just say, like, I actually said that to you briefly last night, which you didn't respond to, but it was that this was like a foreshadowing of the crazy woke culture that was about to come, like an actor would have to explain their stance on gun violence for using a gun in a movie.
Right. It's not like they killed someone like Alec Baldwin. They just, it's a part of a role.
But he also was using a gun on a film set.
Right, right. So Jamie Lee Curtis was criticized 3 years ago when she was promoting Halloween Resurrection because her character...
No, I'm sorry. It's not called Halloween Resurrection. I'm saying she resurrected her role as...
Gotcha, right.
In her Halloween franchise.
By the way, I want to finish this thought, but I missed that film, that last Halloween film. But didn't she die 20 years ago in the Halloween film? Are they just ignoring
that? I have to explain this. Yeah, it's tough because now this is like a new trilogy that they've done.
So they're just pretending that when she died that doesn't count?
They've done it twice. And she's also had kids in different...
I hate that.
Variations of things where then all of a sudden, like, okay, so let me just, I have to, because I'm obsessed with this entire Halloween franchise. So
have you seen all of them?
Is that a question?
You have.
That's rhetorical, okay. Right? Okay.
And how many? There's got to be 14, I think, right? 13?
13?
How many are there?
If
you include the Rob Zombie film.
No, I'm not including
the Rob
Zombie.
Oh, you're
not? No, she has no part in that, and those things are ill, and that man needs to be sedated.
Okay, so excluding those, how many are there? I know there were like six or seven.
Yeah, there was like seven of them, and then there was like H2O.
Right, that's the one I saw. That's the one where she dies.
But then there was another Halloween. Well, there was a couple. There was a couple where she dies, actually. So she dies in...
See, I've got a problem
with
that.
No, wait. She doesn't die in H2O.
She doesn't? I remember her dying in that.
She does not die in H2O.
I think she did. That's the one with Jennifer Williams. Michelle Williams.
Yes.
Yeah, I think she does.
She doesn't die in H2O.
All right. Well, I don't want to delve too deeply in case I'm giving a spoiler away. I hate to do spoilers anyway, but since I'm not clear whether she's dead or alive at the end of that film, which I think she's dead.
It was Resurrection when she was like... coming, really, that was the name of this one. There was a I don't remember. Anyway, she was like in an insane asylum, and he drops her from a building. She totally dies in that one. And I feel like there was one other one where she dies. But either way,
as a fan of the franchise, don't you have a problem with them ignoring ignoring the continuity of these characters?
Well, okay,
because it's not the good guy that's supposed to keep coming back to life; it's the bad guy.
Okay, so this is my thing. I cherry pick because I love the Halloween movies so much that I am willing, like so many people in society right now, to ignore facts.
Okay.
And just go with what I want to see.
Okay. I'm with you on that. Now, the best Halloween film is certainly the first one, obviously. Right?
Obviously.
So give me the next two best. If people are looking for something scary in the Halloween realm,
okay,
what are the next two best?
Okay, so I would say, Halloween 1 and Halloween 2 are both great.
Okay, well, okay. Halloween 2 is very good. It's not great. It's
okay.
Very good.
The first one's great. The next one's good. I mean, it's a continuation, and you still have Jamie Lee Curtis.
Same night. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So those two kind of can be lumped together.
And now we're not counting Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, right?
That is an abomination of the entire thing. That wasn't even John Carpenter.
Right. Sure.
So, yeah, we skip that. But then I love H2O. I do like H2O.
It was good. I saw it in theaters. I thought it was very good.
It is good. And I saw it actually at a drive-in. It was
really?
One of the last drive-ins. Yeah, it was like right after college, and I had moved to Atlanta, and there was a drive-in there, and they were showing H2O. And I actually, that was the last drive-in I had ever been to, which was a long time ago. So the next one I would say is the 2018 one.
Okay,
and now
that's the one I didn't see. That's
now,
the one where she wields this gun because she's horrible.
She's wielded a gun. She wielded a gun in the first one.
Oh, that's right.
Didn't she?
I think so, yeah.
Or no, she had a knife. Either way,
yeah,
she's had guns in her. She had a gun in H2O.
All right, so for people keeping score at home, if they want to keep, some scary Halloween film watching, first Halloween, Halloween 2, Halloween H2O, and then the one that came out 3 years ago, 2018 version, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow she escaped getting canceled for the gun criticism from 3 years ago.
Yeah, because it was just it was so poorly based. I mean, the argument. I mean, it must have been a slow news day. And I actually don't even remember how she responded to it. I think she said something along the lines of what I'm saying about her being like in a movie. It's a character, like. I don't know. But now she's very woke these days because she actually just I follow her very closely. She just this is a little bit of a tangent, but she just reposted a tweet from a handle that's been since suspended. About how all very like, you know, like going out of business malls and like restaurants should be turned into homeless shelters.
Oh.
Because they're equipped with space, kitchens, you know, electricity, like all of these things. And she was like, what they said. I'm like, come on, you're killing. I'm hanging on by a thread to be your fan, Jamie Lee Curtis.
So you don't think malls should be homeless shelters?
No, I mean, especially now where, you know, people are begging to hire people. Everywhere I go, I see a now hiring sign. I'm not saying it's the most desirable jobs, but I'm sure there's other jobs where people are hiring. This is no secret.
But there are homeless people that need shelter some places, right? But
correct.
Think places other than malls is the best place for them.
I just think that offering free housing doesn't exactly motivate anybody to. How about job training? You want to set up a job training center in a mall? In an abandoned mall, maybe?
Jamie Lee Curtis, she survived the gun cancellation. Now she's promoting the new film that's out. Is it already in theaters?
It's already in theaters. Yes.
Have you seen it yet?
I have. I didn't go to the theater. It's also streaming on Peacock.
Okay.
Not that I'm doing publicity for them, but it's streaming on Peacock. And so I did watch it, but I watched it in a distracted state because it was late at night and I was just really tired and I was in conversations on my phone and I have to watch it again.
You can't watch. You know better than that to watch a film you haven't seen like that. You've got
to
watch.
I know, and it's out of character for me to do that with a Halloween movie.
I must
say,
I'm quite surprised and quite disappointed, I might add. But so I want to ask for your review. We'll do your review another day. Now, am I seeing that? What is she saying that this new Halloween film is actually about?
Oh, right. Okay. So now she is talking about how this movie is about the mob violence of January 6th.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yes, really.
Based on your distracted viewing of the film, were you able to tell that it was about the mob violence of January 6th?
No, I watched it and then I saw that information come out like a day or two later. And I had to see why she said that, which had to do with, you know, people taking control, taking matters into their own hands, like on January 6th. And that was the comparison she made. I guess you can make a parallel like that, but no, if you're sitting and watching this film, you're not like, wow, this is really reminiscent of January 6th, 2021. No, you're not even thinking that. You're thinking, wow, Michael Myers just never dies. Like, how do they keep getting away with
right,
this?
Well, that's how you know he's related to Jamie Lee Curtis's character. All right, we're going to continue with Marlena Shivo. Jamie Lee Curtis making some other news as well for her parenting, and we'll tell you what she said about her daughter, and a whole bunch of other things. We'll get into the New Jersey gubernatorial race and the very controversial masks that Marlena is having her children wear to school. We'll get into that, and we'll squeeze in some of your calls as well. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. I do want to tell you, though, about Life Change Tea. A guy commented in the Facebook group yesterday, say, hey, Frank, what is that tea that you advertise again? Listen to me very carefully. Life Change Tea, that's it. And if you're wondering what it is and what it does, go to the website getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. This is a gentle daily cleanse that tastes great, comes in three great flavors. My preference is the pomegranate. There's a bottle of the pomegranate in my refrigerator right now, and it works to get things moving. Stress can wreak havoc on our digestive tract. And if you're feeling blocked up and bloated, Life Change Tea can help you. It's all natural, non-GMO. One package will last you an entire month. Life Change Tea is only available by logging on to the website getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Use the promo code Frank for free shipping. That's promo code Frank. It's time to feel relief. While you're there, you can check out all their other great products. Don't miss out. Life Change Tea at getthetea.com. It is the tea that makes you go. And if you use the promo code Frank, you will get to enjoy free shipping anywhere in the United States. Getthetea.com, promo code Frank. Now it's Judy's turn to cry. Judy's turn to cry. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I am very lucky this hour to be joined by one of our favorite regular guests, the one and only Marlena Shivo. She is a satirist, social critic, and veteran media producer. You can find her musings all over social media at Marlena Shivo. That's Marlena S-C-H-I-A-V-O. And from time to time, there are things worth reading about on her social media. 800-848-WABC, talking about Alec Baldwin killing someone, talking about Jamie Lee Curtis and the new Halloween film. Four open lines if you want to jump on board. 800-848-WABC. Richard is in Parsippany. Hello, Richard.
Yeah, howdy, Frank. Yeah, so I'm not at all surprised to hear in an incident like this, Alec Baldwin is involved. Not at all surprised. I would bet that this weapon was not used in the shooting of a scene, that he was walking, probably walking around with it and aiming it at people and firing it to scare them. Now, we know that Alec Baldwin has a long history of being violent. If he doesn't go to prison for this one, then I think lawyers.
Well, Richard, do we want to wait and see?
File the charges.
Do we want to wait and see what the evidence is before we send him to prison?
I don't want to wait and see. I know Alec Baldwin; he's a dirtbag.
Well, Richard, I think that's. I think you've come to. If you were a juror, they would knock you right off. I feel like you've prejudged this case. Do we have any idea of what the circumstance was? Was he shooting a scene?
We have no details, and it is there is an active investigation happening as we speak.
All right, Diane is in the West Village. Hello, Diane.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm well.
So, I think that somebody switched the guns on him, and he thought he had a prop gun, and it was a live gun that had ammunition in it.
Any reaction to Diane's thought, Marlena? Could that have happened?
I mean, that would be pretty sinister. But hey, you know, Frank, I was here a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, and you said that people were saying Brian Laundry maybe killed himself or he wasn't alive anymore, and
they
were right. Yes. So anything's possible, especially now.
All right. Well, here we have a call from a very interesting name here, Halloweena. Hello, Halloweena.
Yeah, hi. So naturally, I was one of the first people to see the new Halloween movie. And then I hear Jamie Lee Curtis saying it was based on the mob violence of January 6th.
Right, because she's saying that the characters in the film were taking matters into their own hands.
I wasn't done talking, Frank.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
I just think it's a stretch to say that the film that was the film's purpose.
Yeah, that's true, because that script was written and already in production before January 6th. Frank and Halloweena. It was set to be released in October of 2020, and they had to pause production because of COVID. But it was done a year before January 6th even happened.
Then she went on to say that the 2018 Halloween movie reflected the Me Too movement. That movie was also already in production when Me Too started getting attention.
So, Halloweena, are you trying to say that Jamie Lee Curtis is trying to add depth to the resurrection of her Halloween franchise by manufacturing a connection between current events and screenplay's narratives?
Is there an echo in here? That's what I just said.
I like you, Halloweena. I've spoken with a close relative of yours. I think she's a cousin or something. Quarantina. She's a fan favorite, actually. And I've talked with her a great deal, several occasions. But how come I've never met you before?
I only make appearances in October.
So where do you go the rest of the year?
I go to Florida. where the rest of the free thinkers are.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for joining us, Halloweena.
You're welcome. The pleasure was all yours.
It certainly was. It certainly was. Let me say hello to John in Reno. Hello, John.
Hey, I tell you, I feel bad for Alec Baldwin. I tell you what I think happened. He probably didn't pay attention to safety laws. There's ways you hold guns and there's ways you hold prop guns. And he obviously didn't pay attention to the rules. And 99% of the time, nothing happens. You know what I'm saying? But he just happened to be the odd man out. And we had a tragedy. I feel horrible for him. You know, whether or not he gets charged with manslaughter, we'll have to wait on the evidence. It's just a terrible tragedy.
Well, I mean, there's also, and thank you, John, there's also a possibility that there could be some sort of criminal charges for the prop master or something if for some reason this wasn't a properly blanked gun or something, right? I would think. I mean, if Alec Baldwin is shooting a gun that's handed to him for a film scene, I don't know what criminal implications there could really be for him. I mean, how's he supposed to know that the gun, you know, the guy's been making movies for 40 years. I would think he knows how to fire a fake gun or fire a gun with blanks anyway.
But yeah, that's true. But also, but is there a possibility that, I mean, obviously this was not intended. Could he come down on a manslaughter charge or something? I mean, is that a possibility?
I don't know. You know, I'm going to have to ask my friend Arthur Idala when I sleep at his office later this morning if that is a possibility. Going back to the other gun-wielding villain that we've been talking about, Jamie Lee Curtis, I understand she made some news this week, not only for saying that this Halloween movie is about January 6th, which you seem, having seen the film, sort of, you seem skeptical of that claim that it's an allegory for January 6th.
Well, and like I was saying to Halloweena earlier, or just now, not only you're not going to watch the film and go, wow, there's this huge, you know, connection between the two. This script was done. Okay, so this was supposed to be released in October of 2020. So they started production. So that means the script was written. They started production. They then had to stop down for a few months or however long they did because of COVID. Then they picked it back up again and released it the following October.
Gotcha.
So are we to believe that they rewrote a bunch of things?
No.
I mean,
so
they
silly.
Cast it.
It seems like she's trying to benefit from the anti-January 6th buzz that's out there.
Right. And then, I mean, but then she doubled down with saying that her 2018 had to do with the Me Too movement yet again. And her reasoning for that, it was because it's a very female heavy, you know, taking action type of thing going on there. So there's all women. It's three generations of her. Right. It's her new daughter, not the daughter from Halloween 5.
I hate that. I hate that.
There's no son anymore from H2O. I don't know where he is.
I hate that. Don't get me. I hate that.
And then the daughter's daughter. So all three of them are, you know, taking control and going after the villain. So obviously the metaphor is the women taking charge and going after the villains.
On Star Trek, at least when they do that, when they want to create like a new situation and wipe the slate clean, they do something to create a parallel universe so that, okay, that's a parallel universe. That's what's happening there. So nobody questions why this happens differently or that happens differently. They should at least have the respect for the audience to create a parallel universe of some sort. But you know, Jamie Lee Curtis made some other news this week. In that,
oh, I'm sorry. Are we talking
now,
about Jamie Lee Curtis
just,
again? Because
when
you said Star Trek, and I just went blank.
Oh, be quiet. She.
Why? How can I go quiet? What will the audience listen to if I do?
Fair enough. Jamie Lee Curtis, that's said with love, just so people know. Jamie Lee Curtis now has a transgender daughter. That's
yes.
The kind of trendiest thing that you can do. I'm hoping that our child, when they're born in December, will be non-binary so that I can be even trendier than Jamie Lee Curtis. But how is she reacting to being the proud parent of a transgender daughter?
Oh, she's proud. You know, I'm going to confess, I actually didn't even read the entire, I think it was in People or whatever. But she did say a few things on her social media, just saying that she is learning you know, and she's great. She's a grateful student. That was what she said. So she, you know, because this is new and, you know, she's hoping she could sort of lead the way. Although she's a little late to the game. I mean, I'm sorry.
Right.
Hashtag
with well, Chaz Bono well, was bigger than this, right?
Well, I mean, right. But then we've got Caitlyn Jenner in the forefront of everything, mm-hmm. Which, you know, which will come up in the Dave Chappelle thing that we talk about later. But, yeah, so she's saying that, you know, she, I mean, I get, I, hey, look, I guess adding to the pile of, parents of transgender, kids, and with a platform like hers can definitely help, pave the way for other people. But, you know, people don't realize that there are other shows out there that have already tackled this. Did you ever see the show I Am Jazz?
No. I produced an interview with Jazz for another talk show host that I was working with. So I did a lot of research into the show and into a book that Jazz had written. But I've never seen the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But so it's very popular right now.
Yeah. And she had several seasons of it. And this, you know, this is, you know, she realized she was transgender at a very early age. And her parents started transitioning her, I think, when she was 11.
Do you think that's an appropriate course of action for a parent, you as a parent of two daughters yourself?
Okay. So this is what I think. The same thing I think about vaccine mandates and mask mandates. It is up to the parents.
That strikes me as reasonable a thing as I've heard all day. You mentioned the Netflix situation. We covered the Dave Chappelle fighting back against the Twitter mob and the woke mob, whatever you want to call it. He's a comedian, so shockingly, he has a comedy special where, unbelievably, he has the audacity to make jokes.
Right.
And he makes jokes that some people might find offensive. And the CEO of Netflix, Ted Sarandos, even though his own staff was walking out and this and that, he refused to kowtow to the Netflix staffer rebellion and the Twitter protests, right. And he's keeping the special on Netflix. What's your reaction to Ted Sarandos and his handling of the Chappelle controversy?
I mean, I think that this is the first time you haven't seen someone backpedal after getting a huge backlash from the mob and, you know, like in this case, that also the employees. Now, when they first started this whole this whole negativity campaign, they were saying that Dave Chappelle's stand up was going to have a negative effect on society and in the real world, right? And what the CEO came out and said was, no, I don't actually think that that's the case. And I'm not lifting it because this is artistic expression. And, you know, it's just not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Okay. The only thing he sort of walked back was the first thing he said was, okay, well, maybe I understand that you may think this might have a negative effect. And maybe it is having a negative effect on some people's feelings and about the situation. However, I stand by what I said, and I'm not taking it off of Netflix, and this is just going to have to be one of those things that not everybody loves, okay? So, of course, I had to watch it, because at first I thought, hey, they were actually going to pull
right,
this.
Naturally.
Yeah. And honestly, I think if people would just stop cherry picking like I do with the Halloween franchise, mm-hmm. and really listen to Dave Chappelle. First of all, yes, he's a comedian and everyone has lost their sense of humor. He is not a transphobe. That's what he came into this special as, because apparently he had said a bunch of things in the past where people kept saying he was transphobic. And so here he was. He's very talented. And that's not something I've ever said. Obviously, he's talented. I mean, I'm not the first person to say that. But I was never a huge Dave Chappelle fan.
Sure.
You know, but now I was like, oh, you know what? He's very smart. He's very funny. It's very funny. He's definitely not transphobic. He is a comedian.
So what are people so upset about that some jokes?
Because he's just, you know. Because he toes the line. I mean, he's, you know, he still takes risks in his comedy, unlike a lot of people these days, because they're scared to get attacked. But it was so funny because he even said, he's like, you know, I got dragged through Twitter about some of the comments I've made. And he goes, but I don't even care about that. He's like, Twitter's not even a real place. And it's like, it's so true. It's so true. But, you know, he says things that are wrong, but they're funny and it makes sense. And if you listen to it in its full context and stop taking stuff out of his stand-up that sounds bad, you'll understand what he's trying to say. And he goes, I never had a problem with the transgender community. It's white people, right? So he goes on and on to talk about how when the transgender community or the LGBTQ community doesn't want to, I don't know, be discriminated against, they go back to being white. You know, like it's all connected to his comedy and his brand, which is also something.
What I don't understand about Dave Chappelle or anybody else that makes jokes that people might find offensive or whatever the case may be, if they don't like what he's joking around about, why don't they just not watch it? Why do they have to ruin it for everybody else that wants to watch this kind of content?
You know, this the origin of all of this started with, I guess, one or two transgender people who worked within Netflix who felt like they were no longer working for a company who supported them.
But
okay.
I would have to think Netflix has so many different forms of original programming. I bet you there's all sorts of content on there that is very pro transgender agenda.
Not just that. Let's cast that aside for a second. There have been so many things in film and television that definitely have a negative effect on society. And I cited The Sopranos before. And, you know, back in the day when The Sopranos was actually on the air, I remember the Italian-American Society of wherever came out and started talking about the stereotypes and everything else. But they weren't canceling it. You know, that show stayed on the air forever. And I just feel like something like that, the violence alone, the violence against women, you know, and making it and glorifying it. That alone, I feel like, is a way more negative effect. Now, everyone is so inclusive and woke, and there's, you know, that the trans, if anybody is being represented, it is the LGBTQ community in a huge way. So I don't know. I could go on and on, but I like the fact that this CEO said, nope, like, you know, hey. Like you just said, not everybody. This is not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but I'm keeping it.
And I guess it is a lot of people's cup of tea because it's one of the most watched things that Netflix has right now all over the world. So it's doing very well. And
It would have done well on its own because Dave Chappelle has a huge audience and following. But now that all of this has happened, like I wasn't going to jump to watch this special. I was like, oh, when I have a chance, I'll watch it. But I jumped to watch it to see what everybody was talking about,
right? Yeah, that's the way I feel about the Katie Couric book. I wasn't going to read it, but seeing all the controversy around it now, it makes me want to read it. That's what happens.
Oh, God, did you see that Ashley Banfield thing? How she...
Yes, that's
that
wild.
That was, like, embarrassing.
Did you ever have occasion to work with either Katie Couric or Ashley Banfield?
Ashley Banfield, yeah.
What was your opinion of her?
She's nice.
She's nice. She's been a guest on the show. She was nice to me in the 20 minutes we spoke, so...
Yeah, I don't have a problem with her. Never had a problem with her back in the day.
Well, Katie Couric did, clearly. All right, we're going to continue with Marlena Schiavo in just a bit. If you want to comment on anything we've discussed, you're welcome to give us a call, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But in the meantime, I want to talk to you a little bit about inflation. Inflation is one of the many problems in our economy these days. President Biden came out yesterday and said he has no idea what he's going to do with respect to high gas prices anytime soon. That's no solution. If only it was just high gas prices. If you've been to the grocery store, you have seen the price of food. If you've been to any other type of store, you've seen the price of everything. Inflation is out of control. The value of the dollar is rapidly dropping. So what does that mean for you and what can you do about it? Well, if your money is sitting in a traditional retirement account, it is getting eaten away right under your nose. Gold and precious metals can offer a hedge against inflation and protect your retirement. If you have an existing retirement account, think about rolling it into a gold or a silver IRA and think about doing it with legacy precious metals. The last time the stock market collapsed back in 2008, a lot of Americans that were invested in the stock market lost their retirement. Those that were invested in gold didn't. They saw big gains and avoided the financial carnage. That's why gold really should be a part of every wise investor's portfolio. Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased information based on your individual situation. Write this number down. 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635. Or you can visit the website legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano here with Marlena Shivo for the hour. We are taking your calls at 800-848-9222. It was great to get a call from Quarantina's sinister cousin, Halloweena, earlier. And I'm actually going to share the video of what Halloweena looks like in the Facebook group that we have. So if you want to see what Halloweena looks like, join our Facebook group. If you're on Facebook, just type Morano Radio Fans and Haters. That's M-O-R-A-N-O, Fans and Haters. And I'm going to share that video probably in about 10 minutes or so. Let me say hello to Hannah in the Boogie Down Bronx. Hello, Hannah.
Hi, guys. How are you guys?
Doing great, Hannah. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm very entertained by the show.
Good. That's the idea.
Yes, it is. It's entertainment. I want to express that I support LGBTQ. And I also support laughter. Dave Chappelle is a comedian. You know? He's there to make us laugh. And I feel like in this society, we forgot to laugh. And he bring up subjects that may people, you know, cringe. But at the end of the day, he's a comedian. He has a right to express his feelings. Just like Harry Styles has a right to express how he feels in concerts when he weighs LGBTQ, you know, crap. I don't understand why people are so, I don't want to be saying PC. It's just a label. It's just ignorance, you know?
Hannah, yeah, like, I'm with you. I'm a friend to the LGBTQIA community, and I think you should be able to make jokes about whatever you want, pretty much. Hannah, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your feedback. 800-848-9222. Now, Marlena, the last time you were here, we were talking about COVID hysteria, and you talked about how your daughters had been in summer camp all summer, basketball camp, this and that, and they were able to go through that indoors in many cases without any sort of a mask or anything, although now that they're in school, they are victims of Governor Phil Murphy's mask mandate.
Right.
You had sort of a creative way of clapping back at that situation. Remind folks what you came up with.
So because I couldn't get them to remove this or find a loophole in this order, I said, OK, well, if I'm going to send them in masks, I'm going to politicize all of their masks. So I went online and I made masks that say theatrics.
OK.
And unconstitutional. So they and all different styles. I mean, these are like three of them.
Very
or whatever.
Fashionable. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like, yeah. It's
pink,
so,
kind of a rainbow thing.
And right. You know, it's funny because my older daughter can read now. You know, she's 8 years old and she never once even asks what she must think it must. She must think it's like the brand or whatever.
Well, she's very theatrical.
Yeah.
She's a performer, so she probably wouldn't think it's strange.
But yeah, so that's the only protest I can do. And the only other protest I can do is to promote Jack Cittarelli, who's running against Governor Murphy.
And I want to remind folks, you are not exactly a dyed-in-the-wool Republican most of your political life, right?
No, I've never actually once voted Republican. This would be the very first time. And I was always a registered independent and still am, actually. I have no party affiliation at this point. But
you leaned Democrat, you'd say.
Yeah, I was always moderate who leaned left. And now it, you know, there's been a total changeover and it's not just me. I've had a few people, it's amazing the wave that has happened. And, I'm just hoping the wave is big enough in the state of New Jersey to overtake, Governor Murphy, because there's just a lot of negativity around, Jack Cittarelli's, you know, standing and whether or not he'll have enough votes. You know, people have to get out and vote. Other people are saying, oh, it's rigged. You know,
the right-leaning people are saying it's rigged, you mean?
or the left leaning people, or both?
The right leaning people,
right? Because
are saying
because of Trump claiming the election was stolen.
Yeah, because exactly. That's exactly why.
That's what you know. Trump put out another. He's not on Twitter, but he put out a statement the other day saying, unless they fix election fraud, Republicans are definitely going to lose in 2022 and 2024. Basically, he almost said there's no point voting, and it's really a message from him that's so counterproductive. If you have any interest in electing Republicans for anything, because I think we saw that in Georgia to some extent. Trump kept saying, oh, the election's rigged. It's rigged. So a lot of these Trump supporters said, why bother voting? If the election is rigged anyway, I'm not going to vote. So you're seeing some of that among Trump supporters or Republicans in Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, they're not they still say they're going out to vote, the people that I've spoken to. But I don't know, what else people are thinking. And that is such a dangerous message.
Absolutely.
I mean, and that's such a Trump thing to do. He just flies off the cuff. He just speaks out of emotion and his own opinion, and he doesn't even think twice about what the consequences are going to be. Although interestingly enough, Bill Maher went through, he's had this narrative throughout the past year, actually a few years, about a slow moving coup ever since, Trump took office, and he's saying this is not going to get any better. And he's saying that now in the midterm elections, you're going to see it flip back and, people are going to vote red and he's going to put all his people in there. I love how Bill Maher thinks that, Trump has so much strategy. I mean, maybe he has people backing him that have strategy, because I can't imagine him being this slick. But he's saying, no, the total opposite of what Trump's saying. He's saying that the right is going to rage on and they're going to take over again. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is that right now I have to think on a smaller scale with the state of New Jersey, because Jack Ciccarelli has come out and said point blank, it is up to the parents whether or not you vaccinate your child. And it's up to the parents on whether or not you mask your child. So that's huge. And obviously the property taxes in New Jersey are obnoxious.
You're voting for him pretty enthusiastically, it sounds like, Ciccarelli.
Oh, yeah. I am. And I have, I try to stay away from the politics as much as possible, but I have posted things that are so Jack-leaning. It's, so obvious.
A lot of people tend to vote Democrat because they're, liberal on social issues or something like that. Ciccarelli, when he was in the state assembly, had a pretty moderate record. And even now that he's running, he's saying that if the Supreme Court overturns Roe versus Wade, he'll move to codify abortion protections in New Jersey. So right. If you're somebody that always votes Democrat because you're pro-choice or this or that, Ciccarelli is basically saying you could vote for me and still get an abortion.
Right. Absolutely. And I watched both debates, and I think that Ciccarelli did way better than Murphy. I think that he tripped up Murphy on a few things. Murphy is so clearly extremely progressive, and he tried recently in the press to say something noncommittal about masks, saying, oh, well, I don't really think that masks are going to really be all year, and I can't really say for sure that I'm going to mandate the vaccine, but it's still on the table. If there's anyone who believes what he just said, and then also has said that he wants to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast, open your eyes. Again, cherry picking what they want to hear.
Right.
And as far as the masks go, and this is something I've meant to mention about the masks. So they're in masks, right? My younger daughter has had two colds, and my older daughter has had one. Okay. Which is great. I'm glad that they're getting colds and their immune system is working, and that's fine. I don't care. So the masks are not effective for the common cold, but they're protecting your grandmother from COVID? Is that the messaging?
No, you're right. It's very, very inconsistent. Very quickly, lastly, on the COVID front, because I want to pick your brain on one or two other things if there's time. The National Institute of Health is now opposing Dr. Fauci, your old nemesis, and his denial of the Wuhan lab claims. What is NIH saying? What is Fauci saying?
Well, Fauci was saying that he was never involved in these. Oh, God. And I actually have to look at it, what it's called with my old eyes. Yes, the gain of function.
Right, gain of function research.
Right, which is basically where I guess they take viruses from animals and see how they, and like they put in something.
Yeah, they try and create these super diseases to see how we can cure them.
Exactly. Right. So see how they would transfer to humans, and then how they, and then how they would then combat them. It's like they've been saying all along. The one, you know, the person who created the problem is giving you, also selling the cure, right? Fauci has denied this in congressional hearings. He has denied that this took place, and this. The NIH is coming out and saying, yes, it did take place. So I love how we're talking about Alec Baldwin right now. Everyone should be talking about this.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a great point. I'm going to see you a week from today socially because yes. I have been invited, as has my wife, to your much talked about, much ballyhooed Halloween party. What can we look forward to with this Halloween party?
Well, we have a DJ.
So you're going all out for this.
And this is our third year doing it. And we have a psychic and a tarot card reader. It's catered. And this year, as was last year, there's going to be a lot of like political undertones.
Are you going to reveal your costume or?
Not before. I never reveal it before the party itself.
Got it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And this year, because I loved my costume so much last year, I actually changed it 3 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what were you last year?
Chris Christie.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was a very good costume.
That was a great costume.
That was very good. Well, we're looking forward to being there. So if you have catering covered and DJs and tarot card readers and psychics, what can we bring? What can attendees bring?
A decent costume.
Okay. All right. Well, I can definitely bring a decent bottle of something. I'll wear a costume, but I don't know. It's going to be sort of thrown together somewhat last minute. But one of the better suggestions. I don't know. I've gotten a couple of good suggestions.
I do give out awards, by the way.
I know you take this very seriously. So, is there going to be a Halloween movie marathon on at any point on any of the screens?
We talked about that for last year, but somehow it fell through the cracks. But yeah, the two TVs downstairs will be we'll have it on loop. I might even have the new one on loop. But you know what? The one thing, and you just remind me. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I need to nail down a projector for the outside.
Okay.
For that.
All right.
So yeah. It's going to be awesome.
That will be fun. I'm looking forward to going.
I wish Rachel was pregnant last year, not this year, or next year, or something, because you know she's going to be surrounded by a bunch of drunk.
Well, I don't.
Fools.
I need a designated driver back home. I'm glad she can't drink. I think it'll be fun. And lastly, your husband Eric/Todd got you tickets to see Chelsea Handler in November. It's very nice of him. You're a fan of Chelsea Handler.
I used to be a fan of Chelsea Handler. You know, she's kind of flown under the radar, but I still follow her on social media. And her new tour is called like Vaccinated and Horny. And you know how much I dislike Atlantic City. Or I'm not a fan of Atlantic City. Like if I never went there again, it would be too soon.
So, boy, that's harsh.
Well, because I'm not a gambler.
Okay. And all right, there's a lot of other
and the whole thing smells like smoke. Same with Vegas. It's like whatever.
A lot of other things to do.
But yeah, I know. But, you know, whatever. And so it's in Atlantic City because of the whole, you know, this mandate in New York. So can't go to her, you know, the places here to see her. Not that I want to anyway, because should I be annoyed with him? I was rousing him when we were in the company of others and it bothered him. But you know, I think people who've listened to me on this show, these guys behind it, you, would you ever get me tickets to a show that had the word vaccinated in the title?
I would not. I think it's a nice gesture, though. He knows you're a fan of Chelsea Handler. Maybe
was.
He figures your fandom of her would overcome your vaccine hesitancy.
Well, I feel like her humor has gone the way of, you know.
You're right. She has become super political and less comedic.
She was a feel the burner.
Marlena Schiavo, thank you very much. You can check her out on social media, Marlena, S-A-C-H-I-A-V-O. She will be back here on the radio soon. And you could see the video of Halloweena in the Facebook group, Marano Radio Fans and Haters. Coming up next, we got denunciations. I have a lot of people to denounce, hopefully, to list you're not on. Until next hour, keep asking questions.
77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, this is The Other Side of Midnight. We are just getting started here, taking you until 5 o'clock this morning. And then the WABC early news continues without Juliette Huddy. But we still have a lot of other interesting things coming your way, including the weather with Lloyd Lindsey Young. Hello, Bayonne. He is the best weatherman in the business as far as I'm concerned. If you want to comment on anything we've covered thus far, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. It is that time of the week again, ladies and gentlemen, that time where I call out those that need to be called out. It's time for
The Other Side of Midnight presents denunciations.
Yes, let me begin with a denunciation for State Assembly member Deborah Glick, a Democrat from Manhattan. Deborah Glick is, she's a very strange person. Deborah Glick has come out publicly and said the earth has too many people. She put out a tweet that actually said, world population in 1950, 2.5 billion. 2015, 7.3 billion. The lack of family planning because of religious zealotry has stressed the planet, something no one wants to talk about. Now, this is a strange thing to say. As one of her Democratic fellow Democratic colleagues told the New York Post, it's very... I mean, nobody watches Avengers Infinity War or Avengers Endgame and thinks of that as an ideal society. I mean, that is pretty weird. Assemblymember Deborah Glick, for wishing half of the world population wasn't here and for blaming it on religious zealotry, I do denounce you. I must also denounce the East Lansing School District. The principals at East Lansing's elementary schools, this is not a joke, I wish it were. The principals at East Lansing's elementary schools are canceling Halloween and Valentine's Day celebrations over, you guessed it, equity and inclusion concerns raised by parents. This is absolutely absurd. East Lansing Public Schools elementary principals sent a joint letter to families Wednesday, announcing there would no longer be Halloween or Valentine's Day celebration in the classrooms due to potential distractions and an increasing number of uncomfortable families. Uncomfortable for Valentine's Day or Halloween? Give me a break. I must also denounce nationally syndicated radio talk show host Dennis Prager. Now, I know Dennis. I always liked him. I'm a fan of his show. I listen here and there. Now, these days, I'm usually asleep at that time. But and we used to work at the same company. I used to see him around. He was always polite enough to me. He's done very well. Can't argue with success. Used to be on this radio station about 30 years ago. He did not get vaccinated. I don't care. It's fine. It's his choice. And then he caught COVID on purpose because he wanted natural immunity, which is what he said he hoped for the entire time. Now, I find this so dangerous because Dennis Prager is exactly the type of person that should not be getting COVID. He's obese. He's older. He's in his 70s, I believe. And he's particularly at risk. He should not be getting COVID. And then here's what I find so strange. As soon as he gets COVID, he starts taking every possible medication in the world. He's taken every medication in the world in order to beat COVID. The one medication he was not okay with taking was a vaccine. Now, Dennis has got to explain this to me and his audience. Why are you saying, no, I don't want to take the vaccine, but I'll take everything else? I mean, this is ridiculous. What drug company do you think is making your COVID medication that is not making your COVID vaccine? If the drug companies have some sort of a sinister agenda, why isn't that sinister agenda at play in the medication you're taking? And the reason I have to denounce Dennis, because I don't care what people do, but Dennis has millions of listeners. And there's a lot of people that take him seriously. So think of all the other elderly, obese people out there that may not get vaccinated now because Dennis Prager is not. I want to denounce the passengers on this SEPTA train. By now, you've probably heard the story. Juliet's been all over this story in the 5 o'clock hour, and I heard Greg Kelly talking about it yesterday. A woman was raped on this SEPTA train while the other passengers watched and took out their phones. They held up their phones during this Pennsylvania train rape to get video of it, and nobody helped this poor woman who was in the middle of being sexually assaulted. And apparently the harassment of this woman on this train went on for 45 minutes. Nobody stepped in. I'd like to think if I was on that train, I would have stepped in. I don't know what goes on in people's brains. I just don't. To me, it is the strangest thing in the world that nobody intervened. I must also denounce the campaign finance board. The campaign finance board is the entity responsible for administering the campaign finance program, and for administering the debates in the general election for mayor. They did an abysmal job putting together the debate this week between Curtis Sliwa and Eric Adams. The format was atrocious, and the fact that there was no radio sponsor and that they didn't have it also broadcast on radio significantly limited the number of people that could hear this. Now, I don't understand why there was no radio partner. I'm not saying it had to be on this station. Put it on 880. Put it on 710. Put it on 1010, which is where Tuesday's debate is going to be. Put it on, whatever. I don't care. But have it on some radio station. There's a lot of people that rely on radio to get their information, and the campaign finance board ought to be ashamed for approving this kind of a format where the candidates barely get to answer questions, and that's not even on radio. So campaign finance board, not going to be the last time, certainly not the first time, I do denounce you. I must also denounce the Department of Homeless Services. I am amazed at what goes on in the Department of Homeless Services in New York City. They have placed a whole bunch of registered sex offenders, I believe five registered sex offenders, including two convicted pedophiles, into a homeless shelter surrounded by schools in the financial district. Now, if your child is going to one of these schools in the financial district next to this homeless shelter that is now home to five sex offenders and two convicted pedophiles, wouldn't you be freaking out? If you're the Department of Homeless Services, how in the world do you think this is a good idea? I recognize that we have to deal with the fact that some people who are homeless are convicted pedophiles. They should not be placed anywhere near a school. Bottom line, shame on you, Department of Homeless Services. I do denounce you. I also want to denounce, and I may make more or less denunciations on this one as we learn more about this story, but I want to denounce the prop department of the on the set of the film Rust. Alec Baldwin has killed someone, and this seems to me to be a function of the props department not making sure the props the actors were handling, namely Alec Baldwin, were safe. So, props department on the film Rust, I do denounce you. And I want to denounce the Chinese video streaming giant Tencent. Now, the Chinese are always doing things that are of an authoritarian nature. The Chinese are always doing things that I disapprove of, the Chinese government specifically. The Chinese are very big on censorship, but I think it's important to constantly call them out so that eventually the world doesn't just start accepting this. The Celtics, the Boston Celtics, are facing blowback after center Enes Kanter posted a video voicing his support for Tibetan independence. Now, Tibetans certainly should be free, should have been freed long ago. What did the Chinese do in reaction to this basketball player putting out this video saying free Tibet? The Chinese video streaming giant Tencent, which is like every company in China, in bed with the Chinese government, they cut the live broadcast of Wednesday night's game between the Celtics and the Knicks. On Thursday, Chinese social media was filled with angry fans calling for a boycott. Now, the NBA has increasingly found itself embroiled in these sort of political controversies in China because they are so desperate for that Chinese marketplace. So they're going to bend over and do whatever Beijing says. Kudos to Kanter for knowing that and still voicing his support for Tibet. And once again, shame on you, China. Shame on you. This kind of conduct is just reprehensible. And Tencent, I do denounce you. I must also denounce my sister-in-law, Deborah Camille O'Brien. On Wednesday, she indicated that she was coming to my house with a U-Haul at 5 o'clock p.m. She did not arrive at 5 o'clock p.m. Instead, she came at 5:30, half hour late, not only inconveniencing me, but inconveniencing Tommy Barlotta of the Tommy Barlotta age range scale fame and Kyle Morris. And I mean, come on, you got to be, if someone's doing you a favor, the least you could do is show up on time. But unfortunately, Deborah arriving a half hour late created this domino effect in which everybody was inconvenienced, probably including her. And I really hope that she learns her lesson and does better in the future. But until then, Deborah Camille O'Brien, I do denounce you. And lastly, I must denounce the vandals who defaced the Arthur Ashe mural in Richmond, Virginia, with white supremacist vandalism. This is absolutely reprehensible. This mural celebrating Arthur Ashe in a park in Richmond, Virginia, was painted with insignias linked to a white nationalist group. It's according to police. And I don't know why you would do this. If you don't like Arthur Ashe, if you don't like black people, just leave well enough alone. What are you accomplishing by putting this kind of hate out there? But I guess I'm asking a rhetorical question because generally, if you're going to be somebody that vandalizes a mural, you're not, you know, not exactly the brightest bulb in the drawer. 1-800-848-WABC. If you want to comment on any of my denunciations, that's 1-800-848-9222. And we're in that situation again, Matt, that we were in the other day where we now have two television monitors on the same channel. How did we fix this the other day?
Which one? I just noticed two of them are on Fox.
Yeah, again, I have nothing against Fox, but do we really need to be seeing Laura Ingraham on two monitors?
Absolutely
yeah, let's get
not.
Another channel on there. Mm-hmm. So this way, if a world the world ends, we'll be able to see it from four different perspectives rather than three.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, 800-848-9222. Time for me to tell you about Life Change Tea. I love Life Change Tea. It's life-changing. It is something that gives you a ton of energy without caffeine. It is something that I really enjoy. I drink it every day, two big glasses each and every day. It detoxifies you. It's a gentle detox. And it is really great. It's a gentle daily cleanse that tastes great and works to get things moving, if you know what I mean. Stress can wreak havoc on your digestive tract. And if you are feeling all blocked up, trust me, you need to try Life Change Tea. Go to GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com, and use the promo code Frank. Get yourself some free shipping. GetTheTea.com, promo code Frank. It's time to feel relief. While you're there, check out all their other great products designed for your optimal health. Don't miss out. Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. It is the tea that makes you go. Go to GetTheTea.com, use the promo code Frank.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. Taking your calls at 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. And those of you that are holding, I will get to you. You could bring up whatever you're interested in bringing up. But I saw, I read the Tangle newsletter, which is a great newsletter put together by Isaac Saul. And he's been a guest on the show a couple times. We've had him on talking about election fraud. We've had him on talking about aliens. He's really does a great job with his newsletter. And so what he did this week is he's taking time off from his newsletter to I thought he was joking when he said this, but it's apparently a real thing. He's taking time off from his newsletter to compete in the Ultimate Frisbee National Championships. Apparently that's a real thing, and Isaac Saul is in it. So what he did is he just made a list of nine things I loved from last week. And this is what he said before listing this stuff. In the past, I've done a few editions where I do a roundup of some of my favorite stuff I've come across in the past week or month. I figured since we're taking a couple days off, this would be a great time to give you some other content to explore. Here are nine things I loved from the last week. And he proceeds to list a profile on a political figure, video of a debate between Ben Shapiro and Anna Kasparian, a commentary on Boomers and Columbus Day, a book from Timothy Keller. It's actually a book that I am hoping to read as well. I just picked it up. It's called Making Sense of God. A thing about an animation about how deep the ocean is. A ProPublica essay on an arrest in Tennessee. And a couple of other interesting articles and op-eds. So I thought it might be interesting to hear from you about what the best thing, what you loved from the past week. And it could be a television show. could be a movie, could be a podcast, could be an article, could be a YouTube debate, anything that you think you would like people to have seen over the course of the last week. I'd love to know what it is. Now, I kind of do this in real time because if I see an article or something on YouTube that I think you're going to love, I talk about it on the radio and then I post it to my social media. But if you have something that fits into one of those categories, book, article, movie, television show, podcast, radio program, something special that you think other people would benefit from reading or seeing over the course of the past week, I want you to call and share it with the audience, okay? Sort of like intellectual show and tell. If you saw a great documentary on, whatever, the Hindenburg, call me and tell me. If you read this terrific profile of Ted Cruz, call me and tell me. If you saw a meme that you found right on the money and hysterical, call me and tell me. 800-848-9222, something you saw over the last week that you think that you just loved and that you would love for other people to experience as well. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Joe in Irvington. Hello, Joe.
Yes, I just wanted to say, if you remember John Eric Hexum, who took a gun loaded with blanks, put it to his head. Apparently something came out of it and killed him. He was on the show Cover Up with Jennifer O'Neill.
You know, actually, I don't remember that, Joe. So I mentioned the situation with Brandon Lee and Crow. So I guess this is actually, I guess, somewhat common, is people dying from blanks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was. And by the way, Alec Baldwin grew up in Massapequa, Long Island. I remember his teacher was a social studies. His father was a social studies teacher who died at like 55. And I remember seeing his father around. I have a yearbook picture with his father in there. His father is named Alexander Baldwin.
Well, I mean, it is interesting. It is interesting, Joe. But what does that do in terms of evaluating the current crisis that we're in?
Oh, that, you know, that I don't know. I just hope he does. I don't want to.
Hey, well, you were name dropping, right? You were name dropping, Joe. We'd call that in the radio business doing the full Charlie Finch, right? Where you call and we're talking about Alec Baldwin and you have to give your own personal Alec Baldwin anecdote or recollection. Now, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I do it. I do it all the time. Just this week or last week, I told you about meeting Donovan's son, an event which was almost entirely uneventful. 800-848-9222. If you saw something, read something, or experienced something this week that you just loved, tell me about it. What was it? And if you'd like other people to see it as well, how they could find it. 800-848-9222. Maybe, you know, one of the things I would suggest, and I posted it on Facebook yesterday, that op-ed that Paris Hilton wrote in the Washington Post, five star, absolutely outstanding. But again, you could see all the stuff that I think is worth sharing on Facebook at facebook.com/MoranoFan. That's facebook.com/MoranoFan. John is in Hell's Kitchen. Hello, John.
Hey, Frank. Frank, how you doing? How are you?
Great. Thanks, John. You sound like you're very busy. You're sorry, in the middle of something.
I'm leaning over you. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get in position here. Listen, you have to see this thing that I saw. It will completely blow your mind. It's on YouTube. It's called Why Women Destroy Nation and Civilization. It's by a guy named Black Pigeon. Now, don't judge it by the title. It's not what you think.
Give me the title again. Why Women Destroy Nations?
Women Destroy Nations and Civilization.
Okay.
And the reason is biological, but when you see it, this will completely blow your mind. And when you read the comments, women actually agree with what the video is saying.
It's really?
It's a guy named Black Pigeon. Yeah. So it's a controversial title, right, of course. But what it basically, I'm not going to give it away, but when you see this video, it will completely blow your mind because it goes into what's happening in Europe today, why this is happening, what's going on with women, and why we're not getting married anymore. you know, congratulations, you are. But a lot of people are just not getting married anymore.
Well, that's true. That's actually that I've had that on my list all day, not all day, but all week.
Yeah.
About the declining birth rate in this country is actually a result of a choice. It's a choice that people.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I mean, I'm not trying to backspeak on anybody, but bro, I had for years. I would tell Frankie, the other Frankie, I love Frankie Russo. Bro, watch this movie. No, I'm not into that, man. I'm not watching that, bro. And I would call him and say, bro, did you see that yet? And no, I'm not into that. I'm not down with that title because it's. And I'm like, no, dude, it's not what you think. It's why women destroy nation and civilization. And when you see this, you're just not going to believe it. And they keep sometimes they take it down, but it's always posted back up. So you will find it if you Google it.
All right.
Believe me, you're going to love this video.
I'll check it out, John. Thank you. 800-848-9222. If you read something this week, a book, an article, if you heard something, a podcast, a radio show, or saw something, a movie, a YouTube debate, anything that you were really wowed by and you say, boy, I wish everybody could read this. I wish everybody could see this. Tell me what it was. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Russell is in White Plains. Hello, Russell.
Hey, the last caller, John's quite promiscuous. He was calling WBAI promoting that video. And the reason people aren't getting married.
Maybe it's his video, Russ. Who knows?
That's what I was thinking. But the reason people aren't getting married is because men suck. I think that should be the title of the next video.
It's a little overly broad, I would think.
Well, you know, I know it from this end. Hey, remember Vic Morrow getting his head cut off by a helicopter?
I the Twilight Zone movie, yes.
Right. So, I mean, they're covered by insurance. You know, my story with Alec Baldwin, he's driving the wrong way down 92nd Street on a bicycle, and I was in a car, and I said, hey, you're going the wrong way. He got real angry and told me to F off. But, you know, so he's not the nicest guy. But
yeah,
you know.
I mean, I think that's pretty clear. You know, he definitely has some issues with anger. When he was on this radio station, he was on this radio station as a guest host one day he co-hosted an hour with Brian Whitman. And then he played a character, and he was great, actually. He was great in this character. He was pretending to be a general or something. And then he was doing a talk show. And then Mark Levin and Sean Hannity ended up calling in, and they really got Alec Baldwin's goat. And this is going back about 15 years ago. I still have the audio of it somewhere. Maybe I'll play it Monday.
You can't be defensive when you're a host. That's
then I was going to say, Russ, Alec Baldwin stormed out of the studio. He stormed out of the studio when Hannity and Levin just called in and gave him a hard time. Now, I mean, that was really bizarre behavior, I thought.
Can you imagine being married to this guy? But listen, you know, Norm.
Well, Kim Basinger certainly cannot.
Yeah, she's a little odd herself. But I was watching Norm Macdonald videos one after another like a potato chip. It really is very affecting. But you know what? What the story that got me is how Southwest Airlines reversed the ban on unvaxxed employees. It told me that the worm has turned, but also that they're willing to lie about the weather to cover up their mistakes, just like Fauci. I want to ask you, though, something. You know, in the mayoral debate, they don't have it on the internet between Curtis and Adams. And
it is on the internet. I linked to it on Facebook yesterday.
Facebook?
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. It absolutely
is. Look again, but can you tell me at the end, Curtis said something about appointing a Hispanic police commissioner, maybe a female Hispanic, and Eric Adams got so ruffled. He said, that's my plan. Curtis is stealing my plan. And Curtis just had a Cheshire Cat smile. So what was that about? Do you know?
I don't know. Curtis hasn't shared with me who his pick to be police commissioner is. And I could certainly tell you he's not stealing Eric Adams' plan at all. I will tell you, Eric Adams was not a happy camper. Not only did he not shake Curtis's hand before the debate, not only did he not shake Curtis's hand after the debate, he didn't even go over and shake the moderator's hands. He was so ticked off, he stormed out of there. And then the next morning, which would have been yesterday morning or this morning, depending on how you view mornings, he was on Pat Kiernan's show. And I haven't seen the video yet, and I'm going to watch it. But this has been described to me as him being just crazy. Crazy. He was like almost shaking. And then he was telling reporters after the debate, he was not happy that Curtis got so much time or something. And he was saying, oh, I guess it was Sliwa time. It was Sliwa time. I mean, the guy was Curtis really got under his skin in that debate. And I think it's pretty thin skin, actually. 800-848-WABC. Tell me something you saw this week, something you read this week, something you heard this week that you just loved and that you wish other people could see, hear, or listen to as well. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Dara in Saratoga. Hello, Dara.
Hi, Frank. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
The best thing I saw this week was Condoleezza Rice's appearance on The View, where, and I don't want to give too many spoilers, but she really gave a treatise in how Republicans can really speak effectively, make a point, not use any bad words, not deride anyone, but just dismantling the points of view, which is pretty much left-leaning, we should all agree, on The View. Her emphatic call harkened back to the past of let me finish. It just was really refreshing to see, because I'm a forward Republican, and it really inspired me that maybe I shouldn't change my party, that I should stick, that she passed the mantle of Republicans, really taught the new generation how to speak Republican without alienating anyone or being violent or intrusive. I really loved her appearance. It really showed what Republicans should be to capture back this country for that party. And I just loved her moving tribute to Colin Powell, which was authentic and genuine. Even you could see fighting back tears and gulping. It was not dramatic. It was very honest. And I just really think it was a must-see for everyone.
All right. Well, that's Condi Rice on The View. I imagine that's online if people want to watch it, Dara.
Yeah, I think they replay it on Hulu, but I think it's worth watching, even if you can just catch the clip somewhere on social media. It was really a great thing to watch.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Let me say hello to Terry in Rockland. What did you see this week that you really liked?
Well, it was something that I read. I don't know if it's called a meme or not, but I thought you might be interested in hearing about it.
Okay.
A fowl walked into her son's classroom in school. And the teacher said, I called you in to let you know your son misbehaves in school and he misbehaves in class. And the father said, well, he misbehaves at home, too. But I don't call you and tell you about it.
That's pretty funny, Terry. That's not bad. 800-848-WABC. Kevin is in Kearney, New Jersey. Hello, Kevin.
Yeah, Frank, on the whole Alec Baldwin threat, it's funny that he's in the news right now because a buddy of mine just showed me a video. I'm not a real big fan of his. And he's like, no, you got to see this. It's from 30 Rock. They do like a role-playing thing with Tracy Morgan. And he does Tracy Morgan, and he does a couple other characters. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my whole entire life. It's brilliant.
Well, was that when – I've seen him do Tracy Morgan on the Jimmy Fallon show, but that's not what you're talking about.
No, it's actually from the 30 Rock show that they were on, and they have like a therapist in the room. Tracy Morgan.
Oh, actually, I do remember that. I do remember that. That was funny. That was funny. You're right about that.
Brilliant. And I just saw it the other day, so it's funny that he's in the news, and you said say something, you know, if you've seen anything recently that – everyone else, you got to see it. It's brilliant.
Kevin, absolutely. That's a great recommendation. That is funny. 800-848-WABC. Bob in Westchester, what did you see this week that everybody should check out?
I saw something called Malcolm X Meets the Nazis, and they're on stage. The black Muslims, 10,000 strong in a meeting. They invite the Nazis in full Nazi uniform as honored guests to sit in the front row. So they show up, a guy named George Rockwell. He's the leader of the American Nazi
sure.
Party. And he invites the Nazis are invited up on stage to speak. George gives an incredible presentation to 10,000 black Muslims. And there's parts of it where you see Malcolm being cordial with the Nazi leader as the Nazi leader hands him money and says, I support your cause. And I really support your cause. I think what you're doing is amazing for black people. It's not the same video that was mentioned earlier, Why Women Destroy Nations. That's an entirely different video that people have to see that. But this is also Malcolm and the Nazis. It doesn't get a lot of coverage, but he was saying, look, keep Harlem black, you know? You know, white people should go to Harlem to eat in the restaurants, go to Sylvia's, have dinner, drop a nice tip, and then go back to your white neighborhood. Why? Because with integration, blacks get the worst of both worlds. You'll get pushed out of your black neighborhoods. Whites will take over Harlem, and it'll be white liberals that take over Harlem. It won't be conservatives.
Interesting. If people want to watch that, Bob, how can they see that?
Just Google when Malcolm met the Nazis. Also, Marcus Garvey was friends with the Klan. They had a birthday party for Marcus Garvey once.
And, is that right? I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, that's another funny story, but that's for another time. But anyway, that Why Women Destroy Nations video is amazing. Watch
really?
That.
Okay.
Watch
well, that. You're the second person to recommend it, so I will check it out. 800-848-9222. I read the Tangle newsletter, which is a newsletter I really like. I subscribe to it, and I would suggest that you do. Isaac Saul did a terrific list of 9 things that he loved this week. One was a book. One was a YouTube debate. One was an interview with somebody. One was a graphic showing the depth of the ocean. One was an article. So I thought it might be fun to see what you saw this week or heard or read that you'd like other people to see. Could be anything. What was it? 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. Stephen is in Manhattan. Hello, Stephen.
Well, thanks so much, Frank. I enjoy your show.
Thanks.
Every time I listen to it.
Appreciate
it. Sure. And the movie in 1979, Tarkovsky's Stalker. I'm wondering if I saw that this week. For the second time, I came upon it again. And another of his movies, The Mirror, amazing movies set in Russia, but very deep, deep movies, philosophically speaking, how the human mind perceives the world. And I'm wondering if you had ever seen Stalker.
No, I've never seen it. I've never seen it. How can people see it? Is it on Netflix or something?
Well, I imagine it would be. A friend of mine gave me a set of, I guess, 4 of his movies. A 9 disc set, actually. You know, one could buy DVDs or rent DVDs if they still do that. And the other movie was by a person with the same last name, Tarkovsky. I think his first name is Gendy. It's an animated series on Adult Swim called Primal. Have you ever seen Primal?
No, I haven't.
It's about the first man, really, and his adventures and how he just makes it through to the world. There's hardly any dialogue, you know?
Right.
And it's like 25 minutes long, see? And his adventures in meeting with that world a long, long, long time ago.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the recommendation there. I don't know. I'm not sold based on that description. Based on that description, I wouldn't go out to see either Stalker or Primal. But a lot of it is in the salesmanship of how you do it. If you're enthusiastic about it, you know, that like that first guy that called in about that video, Why Women Destroy the World. I have no idea what that video is about. But the guy sold me on it with his enthusiasm. The Steven in Manhattan says, yes, I saw this movie for the second time this week. It's called Stalker, and it's Tarkovsky. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I mean, you know, you see what I'm saying? There was such a diminished enthusiasm compared to what I was looking for. Hey, speaking of enthusiasm, what I am enthusiastic about is our weekend lineup. Last week, our Best Of podcast was selected as the highlight show. But coming up this weekend, it's the Best Of This Week on the Greg Kelly Show, Saturday at 6 a.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m. You can on WABC, as we play back some of Greg Kelly's best moments from the past week, you can download the 77 WABC app or stream 77 WABC at WABCRadio.com. Don't miss it. Again, it's Saturday at 6 a.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m. The Best Of This Week on the Greg Kelly Show. I'll tell you, one of the best things that John Catsimatidis has done since taking over the station, other than hiring me, has been fixing the weekends. When he took over the station in March of 2020, the weekends were a barren wasteland. Now it's filled with real compelling programming, including these best of the week shows. Now, we were the best of the week show last week, and we're still doing the best of the week podcast. Molly's picked out some great clips this week, and I'm not sure how people listen to the podcast. Now, Matt, do we know where the best of the week podcast is posted?
What was that, Frank?
Never mind. Don't let me take you away from anything. It's okay.
I know. Molly and I were actually talking about the podcast.
Okay, great. So how do people listen to the Highlights of the Week podcast?
Yeah, Molly, come on in right here.
Sorry, I had to run down from my tower.
Sure. You can come to the studio, too. So.
You can listen to the podcast on the regular podcast feed.
Is it the Frank Morano podcast or the other side of Midnight? The other side of Midnight, not interviews and more.
So you can go to WABCradio.com or listen on the WABC app or any of the lovely podcast feeds.
There you have
feeds.
It. Molly doing a great job putting together the podcast. Absolutely. Let me say hello to Paul in Manhattan. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Frank. I'd like to recommend something. Are you a fan of the film Close Encounters of the Third?
Absolutely, yes. I liked it very much.
Have you ever seen the deleted scenes from the film?
I don't think I have, no.
Okay, that's what I'd like to recommend to you. I'm going to send you a whole bunch in a link via email, but if anybody listening on YouTube, if you just put in Close Encounters, deleted scenes, there's a whole series of about 10 deleted scenes, and if you like the film, a lot of people do, the scenes are just there's some amazing scenes that were never made it to the film. Some are very humorous, some are very intriguing, and there's like a whole bunch. It's very worth watching if you
like
the film.
I love it. It sounds great, Paul. And now, if people, other than emailing it to me, if people want to see that, how can they see it?
They're up on YouTube, and just search for Close Encounters deleted scenes.
All right.
There's about 10 of them. They'll all come up in a series.
I'll check it out. Well worth watching.
Thank you, Paul.
That's a good one. 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-WABC. Hey, one quick thing. Did you see Donald Trump's statement about Colin Powell this week? So Donald Trump put out a statement sort of slamming Colin Powell after he died. I'll give you the full context of what he said. But remember, Colin Powell was never a Trump fan. So you knew if Trump said anything, it was going to be something negative. I kind of hope that Trump would not say anything. But this is what Trump said. He put out a statement saying, "Wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday. He was a classic rhino, if even that. Always being the first to attack other Republicans, he made plenty of mistakes. But anyway, may he rest in peace." So that's the statement that he put out. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is not to repeat it, because I think a lot of what he said is true there about Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. But I kind of think it's one of those things that, you know, when someone dies, you try and look at the better aspects of their life. Generally, most people do. But so whatever, people can view his life however they want. But this is what I wanted to bring up. Jack Cittarelli, who Marlena Schiavo mentioned earlier, the Republican candidate for governor of New Jersey, put out a tweet yesterday saying this: "Secretary Colin Powell was a Vietnam veteran and a trailblazing statesman. He deserves better than President Trump's petty insults upon his passing." Now, my question for you is, Jack Cittarelli is a Republican trying to get elected in a Democratic state. Is this his way of trying to put some more daylight between himself and President Trump and kind of signal to the Democrats, hey, you can trust me, I'm one of you. I don't like the kind of things that Trump does either. Is it political, or am I being too cynical? Do you think that's how he really feels? 800-848-WABC. And they could both be true. They could both be true. It might be political and how he really feels. 800-848-9222. Joe is in Ronkonkoma. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Frank. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thanks.
I was telling the board up, when I was growing up as a kid, my dad would always make us watch, it's two things I wanted to tell you, a movie that you've probably seen, The Devil and Daniel Webster. It was from 1930, actually longer than that, but it always set off the fall season, and it was kind of spooky at the end when the picture ended, the guy stood there, and he's looking around, and it was the devil, and it always, my dad always make us watch this because it was, you know, a history lesson, and I always found the movie very intriguing.
Yeah, I've actually never seen it, believe it or not, Joe. It sounds intriguing, though.
You got to watch it, Frank. And also, there's a commercial, Frank, that I die laughing every night. A whole bunch of people sitting around, all in suits and, you know, fancy dresses, and there's a guy with an eye patch, and there's a guy opening a bottle of wine, and the cork goes off and hits the guy in the opposite eye of the eye patch. And every night we eat dinner, we die.
What is it a commercial for?
Frank, I'll have to get back to you. Because I'm laughing so hard, I don't even know what to
say. That's very funny. That's very funny.
Have a great weekend, Frank.
Hey, you too, Joe. Thank you. Appreciate it. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue with your calls straight ahead. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Be right back.
It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Black roof country, no gold payments, tired starlings. Silver horses ran down moonbeams in your dark eyes.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. It's Frank Morano here with you until 6 a.m. this morning. 5 to 6 is going to be an adventure with no Juliet Huddy. We do have Lloyd Lindsay Young doing the weather, but we have a carefully curated list of stories brought to you by Matt and Molly. So hopefully we can still fill an hour even without Juliet. I have no doubt that there's still plenty of news. We have updates on the Brian Laundrie situation, updates on the mayor's race, updates on what's happening with respect to Alec Baldwin killing someone. And we're going to get into that and a whole lot of other stuff as well. 800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. You want to find me on social media. I am on Twitter at Frank Morano. That's Frank Morano. And you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/MoranoFan and on Instagram at MoranoVision. That's MoranoVision. Now, if you want to email me, you can do so, frank.morano@wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano@wabcradio.com. And if you subscribe to the podcast, not only can you listen to this show in its entirety, but as Molly mentioned, you can hear the best of The Other Side of Midnight. And all you have to do is search The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano on Google Podcasts, on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get the podcast downloaded directly to your phone each and every morning. Or you can simply go to WABCradio.com. That's WABCradio.com. Hopefully you're doing something fun this weekend. I am going, this afternoon, meeting some friends, including Molly and Matt, and you're invited as well, Ryan. We're meeting some friends for cocktails here in Manhattan. That should be fun. Hoping not to get home too late. And then tomorrow, my wife and I are leaving Brighton early to spend the weekend out on Long Island. She has some photos to take for this column that she writes for Newsday called Faces of Long Island. It's just like Humans of New York, though. Then we are slated to have lunch with some of the Long Island Muranos. We're not able to get in everybody. We're going to see some of the Long Island Muranos. Then we're going to the Stony Brook homecoming game. And I think then we're going to my favorite sister-in-law's establishment, Sharon. And we're going to spend the night there. And then I think on Sunday, it is my brother-in-law Daniel's birthday. So we're going to my mother-in-law's house for a birthday party for my brother-in-law. So that should be fun. And meantime, today was pizza day. It is Friday, pizza day. We got a square pie today, half plain, half sausage. Matt, you're always pretty enthusiastic about these, about rating the pizza. What did you think of this week's pizza selection?
This was a good pizza. The sausage, usually I'm not big a fan of sausage pizza, but I tried it anyway, and it was pretty good. But the regular slice, I'm still going at it. It's fantastic. Oh. Yeah. Right. And it's from a familiar place. I'm taking it because I saw the box. It's from Angelo's. That's right. The one next to the Ed Sullivan Theater, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so I know that place pretty well.
They didn't give us any deals, so we don't need to give them a commercial. Ryan, what was your review of this week's pizza?
Well, to be fair, I only had the plain, I will say that the plain was delicious. And in my humble opinion, if you can make a really great plain pie, whatever topping you throw on it, I think it'll be great too.
Okay. Fair enough. Molly, thumbs up, thumbs down. What's your story? She shrugged. She shrugged. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So I guess a mediocre pizza review. 800-848-WABC if you want to comment. Let me say hello to Tom in the Bronx who's been patiently holding. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, I'd like to say this. The root of these vaccinations to me go back, believe it or not, to genetically engineered vegetables. I'll tell you why. Because when they wanted to push genetically engineered vegetables on the world, they had a meeting in Washington, D.C. It was documented that in order to get the world to accept these vegetables, they would have to push it on the American public here, which they said, let's twist the American farmers' arm, and they twisted the Canadian farmers' arms, and they went to Zimbabwe, if you remember, which was the old Rhodesia of Africa, and they got Mugabe to push these genetically engineered vegetables in Zimbabwe.
Tom, thank you. We're out of time. Tom, we got to end it there. Out of time for the hour. Appreciate it. And next hour, we'll get into would you take a 9-month cruise? We'll get into it next. Until next hour, your influence counts. Use it.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, this is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. I'll tell you, every morning I generally host the WABC Early News along with Juliette Huddy. And it's a great pleasure to do that. I really enjoy working with Juliette. She is not only a terrific professional, but a nice person, which counts for a lot in my book. And I really am very lucky to be able to work with somebody like Juliette. And I am a little bummed that I am not going to be able to do it for the next week because she is in Italy. So I'm hoping she has a good time in Italy. But I am going to be solo for the 5 o'clock hour this week. Now, you've got to listen to the 5 o'clock hour for a multitude of reasons. For starters, we cover a lot of news. But secondarily, sometimes in the course of covering the news, we stumble upon a talk topic. And this was the case yesterday in which Juliette Huddy and Joe Nolan reacted to a story that I brought to your attention about a new cruise being offered by Royal Caribbean. Let me take you back in time to 23 hours ago.
Frank, yes. Would you ever do one of those round the world cruises?
Well, I mean, I think so. Pause, you know, there, actually. I thought we had me telling the story. So let me pause there. So let me tell you the story first before we get into my opinion and Juliet's opinion. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to listen to that clip first, but it was, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on here. Now, Royal Caribbean is offering, and they've never offered anything like this before. Now, Royal Caribbean is a cruise line. Royal Caribbean is offering something that they're calling the ultimate world cruise. And they just announced this 2 days ago. And this cruise, the ultimate world cruise, would sail around to more than 150 destinations. Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas is going to be setting sail in 2023 on what the cruise line says will be the longest and most comprehensive world cruise, lasting 9 months. So this itinerary includes visits to 65 countries and all 7 continents, including Antarctica. That's part of the 7. This voyage will begin on December 10th, 2023, and wrap up in Miami September 10th, 2024. So you get to go to 7 continents and 65 different countries, and you're basically on vacation on a cruise for 9 months. So that was the announcement yesterday that I read. And then Juliet was commenting on it.
Frank, yes. Would you ever do one of those round the world cruises?
I think so. You know, I
would love that.
You know, I can't picture sort of taking off from all of my lifely responsibilities for 9 months. You know, I enjoy being on the radio and enjoy working. I enjoy, you know, seeing everybody and doing all the things that I like to do. And basically, you put your whole life on hold for 9 months.
Well, no, your whole life is moving forward because you're seeing all of these incredible places and you're experiencing the world. I mean, who wants to die at the end of, you know,
you're right,
life?
You're right.
I never saw the rest of the world. I don't know.
I love the idea of this. I don't know that, you know, maybe I'll explore this on the other side of midnight tomorrow morning.
Good idea.
And see what callers have to say. I like the idea of visiting all 7 continents and seeing all these countries. I also have to think that 9 months on a cruise ship, it would get pretty monotonous, the menu and stuff on the dining room.
Perhaps, but you know, by the same token, you're still getting off in all of these different places where you can spend some time. I mean, you're not just showing up to a port like it is on a 12-day Mediterranean cruise, yeah, where you will go, you know, show up at 9 a.m. and then you have to get back on the ship by 5. I mean, you get to spend overnights there. Mark Twain did this, and I think it was even, might have been longer, but I read the book and it's so interesting. I just thought this would be the coolest thing to do.
Joe Nolan, what about you? 9 months on a cruise, man, around the world, would you do it?
I'm kind of like you, Frank. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful adventure, but I don't know.
I'd be more apt to do a New York to L.A. like train trip or even a drive with some friends. You know,
I'd
be kind of more my speed, I think.
I'd like to go through the Panama Canal and do that. That'd be awesome, too. You know. But I mean, I don't have any. I don't know.
I think our sales team's working on a Frank and Juliet trip for listeners. Hopefully, you can come on that as well, Joe.
Oh, I will definitely go on that. Are you kidding me?
Great.
Oh, my God. That'd
hopefully
be great.
We can do that. So that was our discussion yesterday. And I am curious what you would do. If given the opportunity, now it costs about $60,000. But let's say you didn't have to worry about the price tag. Let's say somebody was paying for you. Would you go on one of these cruises, 7 continents, 9 months? 800-848-WABC. I've been thinking about this all day, 1-800-848-9222. And the more I think about it, the less inclined I am to go on one of these trips. One, I would like, you know, I wouldn't want to miss work. I enjoy working. I enjoy being on the radio. And I enjoy being here with you. But I also enjoy, you know, it's the old Sinatra song. It's nice to go traveling, but it's so much nicer coming home or being home. And I remember when I was in Italy for 14 days. It was great. Had a great trip in Italy. But by the end of the 2 weeks, you're kind of ready to be home again. And I feel like being away for 9 months, even seeing all those great countries and visiting all these continents, I would just be missing everything that I love about New York and everything I love about my hometown. But maybe if I were in a different stage in life, maybe I would do that 9 month cruise to all seven continents. Curious if you would. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Tell me if you would ever consider going on one of these 9 month cruises. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 open lines if you want to jump on board. Now's the time. 800-848-9222. On Twitter as well, at Frank Morano. That's Frank, M-O-R-A-N-O. And you can email me, frank.morano at wabcradio.com. That's frank.morano at wabcradio.com. Dave emailed me, Frank, you're on a 9 month cruise now. What do you mean? Oh, I guess meaning because Rachel's pregnant and has been with child for 9 months. That's very creative and very clever there, Dave. I suppose that's true from a certain point of view. But I'm talking about this particular trip. If you would ever go on one of these cruises, if you would, if you wouldn't, why or why not? 800-848-WABC. And again, I want to remind you. Coming up this weekend, it is the best of this week on the Greg Kelly Show. Saturday at 6 a.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m. You can listen to 77 WABC as we play back some of Greg Kelly's best moments from this past week. I got to say, I was listening yesterday. I don't usually hear his show, but I happened to be up and because I was driving back from the radio show, the radio station, and I heard his interview with his father, Commissioner Ray Kelly. Great interview. And I'm hoping that's included in the best of the week. So if you want to hear it, not only can you hear it on the radio, but you can download the WABC app or stream WABC at WABCradio.com. Don't miss it. It's going to be Saturday at 6 a.m. and Sunday at 10 p.m., all part of our great weekend programming, the best of this week on The Greg Kelly Show. 800-848-9222. Henry's in Manhattan. Henry, would you go on one of these 9 month cruises?
I certainly would, but even for a different reason than seeing the places. It's that you're on a ship, which is relatively small, and you can't get away from it in the middle of the day, and you meet all these people that are your townmates, you know, this small town, for 9 months, have dinner with them, all that. There was an interesting thing that went on when I was in third grade, which is, I'm 72 now. We had a student teacher or some sort of a teacher in training, and she taught us geography by having us follow a cruise ship that went around the world.
Well, that, there? Yeah, I'm listening.
And I heard of places at the age of third grade, I don't know, what is that, 8 years old, that I knew for life, Goa in India, Tristan da Cunha. I knew about Kapok, which is a substance that goes into life vests, but it's also a street right in the Bronx that every time I leave Manhattan by car, I see a sign that says Kapok Street, and I remember Kapok from that cruise. So it was the third grade going around the world vicariously on a...
Yeah, no, I could see that being pretty educational and pretty neat. And as you say, it's clearly something that served you to this day. Thank you, Henry. 800-848-WABC. Carol, how about you? Would you ever go on one of these cruises for 9 months?
No, I would go for 2 weeks or maybe 3 weeks, but I think it would take me away from major issues at home and daily matters.
Yeah, that's kind of my view, Carol. You're sort of living in a bubble, separated from everything for almost a year. All right. Thank you, Carol. Matt, what's your story? Would you go on one of these cruises?
Absolutely. I would. Yeah. It sounds like a blast. I know you're essentially...
It does sound fun.
I know essentially, like, that's obviously the con. You won't be able to do anything, like, you won't be able to see many of the people you know for about 9 months.
Right.
You won't be in your hometown, like, going to the mall or going to the movies or anything like that. But... going to all those different places and just being on the water for 9 months just sounds like a dream come true. It sounds like it's the epitome of a you only live once experience.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Ryan, same question. Would you go on one of these 9 month cruises?
Absolutely, I would.
You would go?
Oh, yes. But honestly, I think I'm very much on what you're saying. Like, I'm missing work. I would miss all that, you know, because I love what I'm doing here in radio. I think that would definitely be more of like an after retirement getaway. It's like, all right, see you later for 9 months and then come back later.
Yeah. All right. Well, so there you go. I definitely see the appeal. And on the one hand, it would be nice to not worry about everything for 9 months. You sort of take – it's like the movie What About Bob? They say take a vacation from your problems, right? But how do you stop from worry? I mean, you're missing all these family functions, family birthday parties and funerals and births and all that stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be away – from everything that I know and love. I used to try not to leave the five boroughs no matter what. So to leave for 9 months, that's way too prolonged a departure for me. But tell me what you think. Why or why not? We have eight open lines if you want to weigh in. 800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. I'll tell you what you need to be worrying about. If you're thinking about this as a post-retirement trip, you need to be worried about your retirement money and your retirement accounts, because right now, if you have your money in a traditional retirement account, it is getting eaten away by inflation. What can you do about it? Well, that's where gold and other precious metals come in. Gold and silver are hedges against inflation. They always have been for literally thousands of years. And they can protect you in your retirement. So what can you do? If you have an existing retirement account, think about rolling it into a gold or a silver IRA. And if you do so, you should do it with Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals is a terrific company. It's well-respected, well-regarded within the framework of people that do this kind of thing. Gold should certainly be a part of every wise investor's portfolio, and Legacy is the company that you can trust because they give you unbiased information based on your individual situation. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today. You can call 866-932-0635. That's 866-932-0635, or you can visit legacypminvestments.com. Ryan, are we going to be answering any of these calls before all of them hang up? I don't want to take you away from anything, but...
Oh, yeah, I think we should be able to.
Great. Well, can you pick up the phone?
Yes, I'll do that right now. My apologies.
Thank you. Hey, and if those of you that were just trying to call in, call back. Ryan was distracted for a moment. 800-848-WABC if you want to weigh in on the question of the nine-month cruise. We're going to do the $1,000 minute coming up in about 13 minutes. You're not going to want to miss that. A great day today here at yesterday technically, at WABC with the Back the Blue event. I was privileged to be able to moderate a panel. And this is all part of the streaming that we're doing at WABCRadio.tv. And I thought it went really well. The station was kind enough to get me a hotel room to use for the morning. So I slept from about 6:15 to about 10:30, got 4 hours. And if you can get those 4 hours of sleep, makes all the difference in the world. And I was really pleased to meet all these great police officers, not only current officers, but retired officers as well. And then I moderated this discussion with John Catsimatidis, the head of the New York State, the Patrolman's Benevolent Association of New York State, a head of a Hispanic police organization, and the head of the New York Veteran Police Association that my friend Richard Ornstein used to be the vice president of. And then John had to go have lunch with General Petraeus. Imagine that. And then And then you, then George Venizelos, who's the former assistant director of the FBI, stepped into the panel to talk about things from a more federal perspective. It was really a great event. One thing I did feel bad about is I thanked everybody, I thought, that played a role in making the event possible, but I neglected to thank our chief engineer, Dan Herschel. I immediately felt bad about it because Dan works tirelessly to keep this station on the air, and especially when we're doing things like video, he's really just Johnny on the spot with a lot of this stuff. So immediately, as soon as we finished, I felt bad for not mentioning him and for mentioning Emily Pankow, who is our chief legal counsel, but she really does so much more from that for the whole company and for our radio station. So I apologize to both Dan and Emily for not mentioning them earlier, but it was great to see both of them. You know, one of the drawbacks of working at night is you don't get to see anybody. But it was nice to be able to see everybody at this event, and especially to meet so many police officers. And by the way, to Molly and Matt, you're welcome, because I stayed with Chad and with Matt and everybody yesterday until 1:30. You'll notice we have no post-show meeting today, so everybody gets to leave right after the show. I think they took pity on me and said, all right, we have Frank staying until 1:30. We don't need him staying until 8 a.m. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to Frank in Toms River. Frank, where were you when I needed help moving a couch there the other day? Frank, I got you.
I'm Rick. You got the wrong name.
Oh, of course I do. Of course I do. All right. Rick, what's on your mind?
Well, I've been on so many cruises. I remember the NCL Platinum Plus Club, and that means I've been on over 30 cruises for NCL. But yes, I would definitely go on a cruise. I don't really have
for 9 months? For 9 months?
I'm 67 years old. I have nobody loves me. Nobody cares. Mom and dad are dead. And my sister lives in South Carolina. My niece lives in Annapolis, Maryland. And I really have nobody in my life.
Well, so, Frank, I think
about who you're going to meet.
Rick, I mean, if I were in your position, I would do exactly the same thing. I think I would feel the same way for the same reasons. And I guess you found cruising to be a pretty good experience, right?
I love it. I love the torpedo girls on the cruise ship.
Good for you. Have fun on the next one. Andy's in North Carolina. Hello, Andy.
Hey, morning.
Morning. Would you go on this 9-month cruise around the world?
Definitely. It will beat the hell out of 9 months to a year. Yeah, living in a tent, sleeping on a cot with 12 other smelly Joes.
Is that what you do now?
That's what I did. I was in the Army, and we deployed numerous times. And one time we got an R&R for 3 days on a ship, but it was past 3 days. And I would definitely do it. When I've given up nine months to a year of my life living in a tent, eating sand, and then whatever, food came out of a plastic bag with cardboard containers inside, it was I would definitely trade it up. And the food really interests me on a cruise. There's just so much good stuff.
There is a lot of good stuff. And that's one of the other reasons that maybe I wouldn't go along with it, Andy, is because, I have a tough enough time gaining weight now on land to be stuck on a cruise ship where you get basically whatever meal you want at any time. I would be concerned that I'd gain a whole bunch of weight in the course of that 9 months as well. Hey, John Catsimatidis just sent me this great article, and I'm going to link to it. Jupiter was hit by another space rock in rare views captured by Japanese sky watches. It's really neat. It's an article on space.com. I'm going to post it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. The lesson there is it's tough being the biggest planet in the solar system. Am I right? It is certainly tough being the biggest planet in the solar system. 800-848-9222. Joe is in Queens. Hello, Joe.
Yes, Peter Jackson from Lord of the Rings is coming out with a new Beatles movie called Let It Be, the remake of Let It Be.
Huh.
And there's a scene that deals with the cruise ship where they get into an argument because they're trying to decide. The film has all the meetings and stuff, right? They always had meetings, the Beatles, right, in the studio. So finally, McCartney says, well, no, no, listen, we're the Beatles, man. Guys, we got to have it in a Greek amphitheater. Okay, come on, we're the Beatles, guys. Greek amphitheater, right? So George Harrison says, no, 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 it's got to be a cruise ship, right? So they get into this back and forth. The John Lennon finally comes out and says, no, it's going to be a mental asylum. It's got to be a mental asylum.
That's very funny. I can picture them having that discussion. That's very funny.
And Yoko
funny.
Sitting on the amp. It's a true story, man. I hope it's in the movie, but it's a true story. That actually happened.
That's wild. Thank you for sharing that, Joe. Mark's in Westchester. Hello, Mark.
Yes, sir. I did a cruise with my ex-wife when we first met to Bermuda. And we made two stops, one on one side of the island, one on the other side of the island. The ship made me a little bit seasick. The food was not that great. And I could not imagine being in a floating hotel with the same people for that many days. If I had the money to afford this.
Right. Well, I'm saying in my scenario, it's free. You won it or something. It was a radio station promotion or something, and you've won it.
Okay. Very different. I would certainly take my chances.
Oh, you would? So if it was free, you would go on the 9-month cruise?
Oh, I would. Without question, take another shot at it.
All right. Well,
without question.
There yes, you sir. Have it. All right. Thank you, Mark. 800-848-WABC. Let me say hello to E. Frank in Astoria. E. Frank, what about you? Would you go on this cruise?
I definitely would not go on the cruise because I've had a lot of bad experiences with boats in the past. I've been on rowboats at Flushing Meadows Lake. I was here in Flushing, Queens. I was going to sink through. I've heard stories about the cruise captains not deciding when the passenger is sick to turn back. They have to just wait it out sometimes. And, you know, seasickness is very bad. I've had it quite a few times on other forms of vacationing, cruising, like in Miami, Florida, when I went there on a cruise of Gloria Estefan's mansion. Awful, the seasickness that I received. So, you know, these cruises have a tendency of not being liable for a person's seasickness.
Right. Once you get into international waters, all bets are off. It also would probably be dangerous for me to be that close to a casino at all times. You know, it's nice to have a little bit of distance. 800-848-9222. Hey, I'll tell you what we'll do next. We're going to do the $1,000 minute. If you think you have what it takes to answer 10 trivia questions in 60 seconds, be the seventh caller to 1-800-848-WABC, and you can try and play the game. And if you can answer 10 questions correctly in only a minute, then you will be the proud recipient of $1,000. And if you get a question incorrect or if you run out of time, then you're out. You lose. 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
77 WABC, where the action is.
Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 77 WABC.
Singing Michelle. All right, it's time for one lucky listener to see if he or she can win $1,000, because it's time for
The Other Side of Midnight presents,
it's the $1,000 minute. Answer 10 questions correctly in 1 minute, and you could win $1,000. Here's your host, Frank Morano.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Chris Libertini. Let's meet today's contestant, Lenny, in Astoria. Hello, Lenny.
Hello, Frank. Good morning.
How are you doing?
Excellent. Yourself?
Good, good. What brings you, what finds you awake at this early hour?
I wake at 3:30, walk the dog at 10 to 4, and I'm in the car heading to work.
All right. What kind of work do you do, Lenny?
I work for a commercial real estate company. I take care of their vending business.
All right. Well, it sounds interesting. All right. You're familiar with the game?
Correct.
All right. As soon as I ask the first question, you're going to hear the timer. It'll start for 60 seconds. If you get a question right, I'm just going to move on to the next question. If you get a question incorrect, then you lose. And you have 60 seconds to go through all 10 of these questions. All right?
Thank you, Frank. Yes.
Okay. Let's do it. What day of the week is it?
Friday.
Name one of the three branches of government.
Executive.
What is the name of the toy cowboy in Toy Story?
Frank, it's been nice speaking with you. Let's try Chester.
No, it's not. It is not Chester. It played by Tom Hanks in the Toy Story films. It is Woody. Woody the cowboy is the toy cowboy in Toy Story. But good try, Lenny. Good try. I'm glad we got the day of the week. Lenny, stay on hold. Get Lenny's information. We'll send him the Other Side of Midnight cap. Just send his information, his address and his name and phone number, social security number, and, driver's license number and everything, blood type. Send it over to Renee and we'll give him a consolation prize. If you want to purchase your own The Other Side of Midnight cap, you can do so by going to WABCRadioStore.com. That's WABCRadioStore.com. There's some cool stuff on there, and I was getting a preview today of some of the stuff they're adding to the WABC merchandise. Some great stuff on there, and some more stuff coming soon, including some special stuff from this show. So it's definitely an online store worth checking out. Thank you to Lenny. All right. Time now for the 77 WABC clip of the day. Today's clip comes to us from the Bernie and Sid program, which you can hear starting at 6 o'clock this and every weekday morning. Let's hear it, Matt.
This is going to change your life, ladies and gentlemen. They did raise the threshold from what they wanted, which was to have the IRS be able to look at your bank account over $600, to look at just the idea of looking at your bank account, the government looking at your bank account, finding out what you're spending your money on, how you got your money, whatever it is. They can ask a million questions. It's none of your damn business. My relationship with my bank is my business. It's not the bank. It's not the damn government's business. And that's what they want to do. So it was $600. And even Janet Yellen was, well, I think that's a very good idea. It's not really to get the small people. It's for rich people. Then why was it $600?
So they changed the threshold, I suppose, based on the context of that Bernie thing. So they're now raising it from $600 to $10,000. But ultimately, I still think there's a better solution. So essentially, they're raising this IRS bank reporting threshold to $10,000 following all the heated backlash that they've gotten. And on Tuesday, as you heard there, the Treasury Department announced that they're setting this new threshold of 10 grand and exempting certain income from W-2 wages or federal programs like Social Security. $10,000 strikes me as much more reasonable. However, I still think I get what they're trying to do here. They're trying to catch people that aren't paying taxes. But to be able to snoop into people's bank accounts if they have $10,000 in there, I think that is still way too invasive. What I'd like to see, if you work off the books, whether you're in this country legally or you're not, you work off the books, you're not paying income taxes, by and large. You're not paying income taxes. So how do we get that money? I think a solution to that is having, while you have much lower income tax rates, have a value-added tax, like a lot of other countries have, where you pay a tax at the point of purchase and they add a tax for every stage of production. That would tax every Mercedes a drug dealer who does all his business in cash is buying. It would tax the, you know, whatever, the television set that the illegal alien that gets paid in all cash is buying. Right now, those people are just not paying anything in taxes. Who's making up the shortfall? You are. Well, actually, right now, nobody's making up the shortfall because we're running a multi-trillion dollar annual deficit. And it doesn't appear to be... Right there, Matt. It doesn't appear to be abating anytime soon. So I will... that's my take. I'm glad they're raising the threshold, but I still think $10,000 is still a little excessive. Stay tuned, by the way. 5 a.m. WABC Early News. We're going to have the latest on Alec Baldwin killing someone. And we'll tell you what we know and where we are with the latest with that is, and as well as all the other latest news that you're going to want to be hearing about. 800-848-WABC. We're going to do 15 seconds of fame coming up. Hey, one announcement that I made on the WABC early news yesterday is that Donald Trump is forming a social media network. Now, I was somewhat surprised by this because I think he had some discussions with other social media outlets about getting involved. And now he's forming his social media company. It's going to be called The Truth. So I don't know that I'm going to join this. I'm curious, those of you that are on social media, would you join this? I'll tell you what my fear with something like this is. First of all, I update too many things already. I have Facebook, I have Twitter, I have Instagram, and I don't want to join a social media company that is all just people who think one way, say conservatives or say liberal. The thing that I like about Twitter and Facebook is that it's a real – there are diverse opinions. There are conservatives on there. There are liberals on there. There are people that are non-political. You can follow news sources. You can follow Facebook. You can follow entertainment sources. I don't think that's going to be the case with this new social network. So I'm curious if you would join this. 800-848-9222. For me, my answer is probably no. But who knows if the 30, 40, 50 million people that were following Trump on Twitter and Facebook all migrate to this new social media networking platform. Maybe it will turn out to be something pretty interesting. So tell me, would you join this social media network? 800-848-9222. One of the new social media networks that launched recently was something called Getter, G-E-T-T-R. And it was formed by Jason Miller, one of Trump's leading communications people. And then Rudy Giuliani's former communications director, Christiani, went to work there, and she offered to get me verified on Getter. And basically, my reaction was, what do I need to do that for? Do I need to join one more and try and build a whole new social networking following on another new platform? My answer is I don't think so. I do have a platform to communicate with people. It's called WABC. And it's, you know, it's a great place to be. And I am still on Twitter and Facebook reluctantly. I think if I were not on the radio, I don't know that I would be on Facebook. So I don't like Facebook. Twitter I do enjoy. I enjoy seeing news as it's breaking, following all these newsmakers in real time. I'm taking a wait and see approach if that's going to be the case with this new Trump social media app. So we'll see what happens. WABCRadio.com if you want to follow the station on Twitter or on Facebook. And again, as I always say, you can follow me at on Twitter at Frank Morano or on Facebook, Facebook.com/MoranoFan. And again, give me your thoughts. Tell me if you'd join the social media platform. 800-848-9222. Trump said it's going to be called The Truth. I got an email here from a gentleman named Doug who said, "Your fondness of the Green Acres theme song prompts me to ask the following of you. Is Texas Senator Ted Cruz the spitting image of Green Acres' Mr. Haney?" And then he says, please see attached photos. And he includes photos of Ted Cruz and Mr. Haney. It does look like him. I'll tell you what I've always found to be a much more apt comparison when it comes to Ted Cruz, and that is Grandpa Al Lewis. Grandpa Munster, who I'm thinking of being as my Halloween costume for Marlena's party next Friday. I just might be him because I like Grandpa Al. He was a friend of mine before he passed away. And Doug, I wrote Doug back that. I said, I always thought he looked more like Grandpa Munster. And Doug says, I trust you're well aware that Al Lewis, who portrayed Grandpa Munster, was a Green Party candidate for governor of New York and a host of a radio program broadcast on WBII. Yes, of course I was. I knew Grandpa Al. And his wife just wrote a book recently. In fact, maybe we'll invite her on the show. I have the book. It's pretty interesting. She has some great stories in there about her life with her husband, Grandpa Al. So 800-848-9222. I am curious if you join this new Trump-founded social media app. It's called The Truth. My answer at this point is no, unless there's a compelling reason to do so. So we'll see what happens. We'll do 15 seconds of fame coming up in about 12 minutes. And then we'll do the WABC early news coming up from 5 to 6. Then you have the Bernie and Sid show coming up from 6 to 10. And straight until Brian Kilmeade. You know, Brian Kilmeade's got this new book out. I've been reading it. It is quite good. It's all about Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. It's pretty well researched, I got to say. Let me say hello to Charlie in Hell's Kitchen. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Frank. I just want to talk to you about this movement. I believe it's called Social Truth. I joined Donald Trump's website today. Now, it's not scheduled to launch till the beginning of next year or drop, whatever the term is. But I joined it, and you can do it. You can join on your computer or even on your cell phone, which I did earlier today, the same one I'm holding now, same one I'm speaking to you from now. You can join, you can get on it, you can become a member of it. And Donald Trump formed it because he knew that Facebook and Twitter aren't going to accept him back on their websites. And I believe he's running for president again, and he wants his own sort of like Facebook.
Well, I get that, and I don't blame him. The thing that I wonder, though, is, I mean, is it just going to be an echo chamber of Trump supporters?
Well, it may be. It may very well be. But if he puts a post or a meme out because he is the former president, I would think that the others would be – I would think that mainstream media would have to report on him. I mean, maybe they can try to ignore him or do whatever they want, but he's the president. I mean, if he puts out a mean tweet about Kamala Harris having a cackling laugh, I think the mainstream media – would report on that. Now, they would criticize him, of course, or they would, everything they report would be filtered through their lens of darkness. There's no other way to describe it. But he's got to have an outlet to get his message out. And even though it's just solid, hardcore Trump supporters like myself who are joining it now, I think the more people that join this thing, the bigger this thing becomes. It's like an antidote to Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand, Charlie. And I'm going to take, like I said, I'll take a wait and see approach. Maybe you can keep us updated, see if it is something worth joining.
What
Charlie.
Is it if you want to wait and see if you don't mind me asking? What is it?
If it's worth doing, because if it's just going to be a collection of people saying, oh, we don't like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and isn't Donald Trump so great? Then I feel like I can get that content anywhere. I feel like I don't need to join another social networking platform in order to see it. But let us know, Charlie, how it works out. Thank you. Hey, one other quick story I want to mention, and I may mention this again next hour. Mother Jones, which is a progressive publication, they published a story yesterday. I had this on my list yesterday, but I didn't get to it. That Joe Manchin, obviously he's the sort of centrist Democrat senator from West Virginia. They're reporting that he has told associates that he might leave the Democratic Party. That was yesterday's news, 2 days ago. But more recently, there's a situation where he's not denying this. Now, I'm always reluctant to comment on stories that, oh, somebody said blank. But now he is acknowledging that he has weighed leaving the Democratic Party. So initially he dismissed it as BS. Manchin then told reporters he had discussed the possibility of becoming an independent. Quote, "If I'm an embarrassment to my Democrat colleagues, my caucus, the president being the leader of the Democratic Party, I said, me being a moderate centrist Democrat, if that causes you a problem, let me know and I'd switch to an independent. But I'd still be caucusing with Democrats. That's the only thing that was ever discussed. No one accepted that." So that's that. It doesn't appear that he's likely to be jumping ship anytime soon. I have mixed feelings about that whole situation. I think that, one, I'm all for more and more people, especially elected officials, becoming independents, because I think we need a much more vibrant, independent political movement. And if we had more independent lawmakers, then maybe they could do something like level the playing field for independent candidates, third party candidates, because right now the ballot access laws and the election laws in this country and in most states are so incredibly discriminatory towards people that choose to run outside of the two major parties. So my thinking has always been, oh, if we can get a few independent senators, they could basically control the agenda. They could be the, as Sinema and Manchin are now, they could have the swing vote on almost everything. Wouldn't that be great? But on the other hand, I think, you know, I want, even though I'm an independent, I want the best Republican Party that you can have and the best Democratic Party that you can have. Because ultimately, then, the winners are the American people. It's like John Catsimatidis always says that he's a Bill Clinton Democrat. He's a conservative Democrat and a liberal Republican. And I think there's not enough of that. And if you have a situation where moderates like Joe Manchin and I guess Kyrsten Sinema, although she's always been much more of a progressive, moderates leave the Democratic Party en masse, I think you'll have the Democratic Party be much worse off. It's almost like what you've seen with the Republican Party. There at one time, especially here in the Northeast, there were many liberal Republicans. You had people like Nelson Rockefeller and John Lindsay. A little bit more recently, you had Rudy Giuliani and Mike Bloomberg. You had Jim Jeffords in Vermont before he became an independent. You still have the governor of Vermont, the governor of Massachusetts as independents there. And not independents, but as liberal Republicans. And I think the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have both become increasingly more exclusionary and gradually just become an echo chamber of the far right and the far left. And I'm concerned that that would get even worse if people like Manchin left to become independent. So I sort of have mixed feelings about that whole thing. All right, we'll do 15 seconds of fame next. This is The Other Side of Midnight. If you want to be heard for 15 seconds, we have three open lines if you want to queue up. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Straight ahead. Yes, of course, I'll play ping pong with you anytime. Well, I found it, ladies and gentlemen. I am on Twitter still. See, this is what you're missing if you just join a social network that is a bunch of people that all think like the Borg, right? I would not see tweets like this, I don't think. I have found the tweet of the week, okay? And I've just retweeted it. I am so angry that I did not think of this myself, okay? That's how you know something is well written. You know, we did the segment earlier on what you loved this week. This would have made my list because this is brilliant, and I'm sorry I didn't think of it myself. This comes to us from Eli Lake. I believe Eli Lake is a writer for Bloomberg Opinion. And I just retweeted it at Frank Morano. You can see. This is what he tweeted. SNL should get Trump to play Alec Baldwin this week. How funny would that be if Alec Baldwin played Donald Trump this week? Can you imagine? Now, I don't think SNL would do it. I don't think Trump, they would have Trump on. And I don't think Trump would do it. But it would be hysterical. They've got to do something funny. I hope they do. Maybe they get his brother. Maybe get Stephen Baldwin or Daniel Baldwin. What else does Daniel Baldwin have to do? Get Daniel Baldwin to play Alec. I think it'd be hysterical. All right. It is time now for you to be heard for 15 seconds. 800-848-9222. It's time for
The Other Side of Midnight. This is 15 Seconds of Fame.
800-848-9222. Let us say hello to Mike in Montclair. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, in regard to your sister-in-law's tardiness, if you're on time, you're already late. A minute early is always better than a minute late.
Well said. Well said. It's these frickin' millennials, though. Victor is in Manhattan. Hello, Victor.
Frank, the most effective way to neutralize the hostility of Kim Jong-un and his sinister sister is to simply award them the Nobel Peace Prize.
All right, it's an idea. Neil is on Staten Island. Hello.
Yes, Frank, read the two latest books for our young children in public education. My mother is really my father, and my sister's name is Otis.
Anthony and Edison.
Yes, good morning. After being in Facebook jail for like the 10th time now, I can't wait to get on the Trump network because Facebook loses 70 or 80 million Trump people to other advertisers.
Thank you. Jimmy in Astoria.
Sizzle moron.
Fred in Yonkers.
Hello, Frank. The best show of the 21st century started in the year 2000. Survivor. Jeff Probst, he has such the cutest dimples, doesn't he?
We'll part company on that. 800-848-WABC. Russ in White Plains.
In the last 30 seconds of the debate, Curtis was needling Adams about Adams' statement in May that he'll choose the first woman police commissioner. All three women Adams is considering are African-American. Curtis was saying, come on, Eric, not even one Latina, not to mention a white woman. Adams overreacted because it revealed Adams as a race hustler.
800-848-9222. Henry in Manhattan.
Hi, your screener said I could call again during this segment. I called about the nine-month cruise. I'm going to write to me and tell them I want to lead the classroom educational.
Thank you, Henry. 800-848-9222. Carol, hello.
Oh, hi, Frank, again. I saw the greatest trailer for a film called Belfast that's coming out. It's about Kenneth Branagh's childhood. It's going to open Sunday before Thanksgiving. I would recommend.
800-848-9222. E. Frank is in Astoria.
Yes, I was a civilian volunteer for the NYCPD at the 114 precinct, and I was unarmed. Why should Eric Adams be a mayor-elect who has a gun and a mayor who's armed?
All right, that slams the lid on things for today. I'll tell you what was so annoying me. We had a little, tiny little fly loose in the studio. It was torturing me the whole show. It was like taunting me. And I could see this tiny little fly. It's a little bigger than a fruit fly. It might even be a fruit fly because we did have fruit here before. Not in the studio, but on the floor. So this fly, this tiny little annoying little guy, was so eager to try and fly in my mouth or my ear or my nose. So I've been swatting at this guy the whole show. So funny thing happened just now. I got him. I killed him. But here's what happened. He was on my knuckle when I killed him. See, Matt and Ryan are clapping. Thank you. Not all heroes wear capes. So he was on my knuckle when I nailed him. And so now, I mean, I removed it, but I have still the remnants of a fly carcass on my knuckle. And it's kind of gross. So in many ways, this is sort of a Pyrrhic victory. All right. I hope you have a great week. Hey, don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to the 77 WABC Early News with me, Frank Moreno. Juliette Huddy is off today. I just got a text message from her. She's just landed in Italy. And maybe she'll give us an update. We'll see. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe, whatever you do. I'll be on Long Island. Hopefully you'll do something fun. To be continued.